Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Hagman and Hagman Report for today, Thursday, November 29th, 2012. I'm Doug Hagman. With me is my co-host, Joe Hagman. He's my son. He is the other half of Hagman and Hagman. Together, we are the Hagman and Hagman Report. Folks, you're about to hear 3 hours of unbiased and uncensored news, analysis, and information. We got to talk about, you know, can we talk, folks? Can we talk about some things? We got to talk tonight. Joe, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here. You got us. Said you had a lot to talk about. Well,
we do. We've got an information-packed program tonight. Folks, if I can draw your attention, if you can help us out here a little bit on the Benghazi information. For those who are unfamiliar with what's taking place, I've spent over 100 hours. That's not an exaggeration, Joe. I think you can back me up on this.
At least. Just while I was here, I would say. And that's a fraction of what was really going on.
100 hours of interviews with a person on the inside. I'm not going to get into the bona fides of this person, but I can tell you this. An individual that knows exactly what went on at Benghazi and why it's being covered up and the serious nature of this, what we're facing here, folks. What we are facing, a war there's no stepping back. There's no backstepping from what Obama, Clinton, and company has done. We are now engaged and have been engaged in a proxy war with Russia and China. We are really on the ramp to a third global war, or World War III, or World War IV, if you prefer. I don't care what you call it. It's going to be bad, and it's all about Syria, Iran. Yes, Israel is a part of it, but Syria, Iran, Russia, and China. Obama is at the helm. Now, you tell me, folks, okay? You know, look, neocon. Oh, yeah, war. Everyone wants war. Bush wants war. Cheney wants war. Okay, where are you people right now? Where are you people right now?
I know what they're doing.
If anyone, and I got to tell you something, okay? On one of the internet forums that posted my articles about Benghazi, there was a thread. And, you know, I will between now and the break, I'll identify the forum thread. There was an individual that says, well, this is all fantasy. If you can't name the source, then it's all fantasy. Well, one of the it could be one of our listeners, Joe, wrote in there that said this gentleman has broadcast nightly from starting at 8 o'clock on BTR. If you feel so strongly, give him a call. So whoever that poster is that said it's fantasy, I made it up. talking to the voices in my head. This information is whatever. You know what? Call me up. I'm not gonna be mean. I'm not gonna raise my voice. I'll let you have your say. And I invite you, if you feel that the information that I've provided, or that the source doesn't exist, or the information I've provided is false, I invite you to call me up and take me to task. I will give you the airtime. Joe and I will give you the airtime. You make your case, and we'll talk. Yeah, we'll talk.
I do have a question.
That's an open invitation.
How do you discern the voices in your head from the people who are really talking to you?
Yeah, a couple of them have accents, actually. In the, you know,
at a Garmin, different voices of the Garmin.
Yeah, actually, and I could tell a couple of them are black. A couple of them are Latino. A couple of my alter egos are my, schizophrenic, So
I just wanted to clear that up.
Well, yeah, and I name them, too, okay? That's what I do. I name them. And no, in all seriousness, look, folks, we're talking about a very serious situation here. We really are. Think about your daughters, your sons, your husbands, your wives, your mothers, fathers.
Yeah, and this is kind of out of place, but you said, you know, where are these people who are crying about the Bush and Cheney and war, and now we see Obama with, increasing the tactics of Bush, or, you know, the torture, the drone wars, the proxy wars. And one thing that we didn't talk about was Glenn Beck took a mini statue of Obama and dipped it in a glass of beer, which they said was urine.
I thought it was cookie crumb lemonade. Okay.
Selling it on eBay. And it got pulled from eBay. And it was an issue of freedom of speech, because people were, there was a cross that was dipped into a bottle or jar of urine. And same thing. Well, today on MSNBC, I got a chance to watch about 3 minutes of Bashir. Martin Bashir, I think his name is.
Oh, yes.
And he had on a man who was, this is the same person who called what Glenn Beck did disgusting the day before. And today he had on the person who was an atheist who had taken part in setting up a nativity scene, in an atheist nativity scene.
Okay,
he was saying, oh, it's freedom of speech. We have the right of freedom of speech, you know? So you can do that.
The same person, the day before,
was going against freedom of speech. Saying it's offensive to do this to...
Michelle, wait a minute. Okay, no, an atheist nativity scene, what is it, like three used car salesman coming to see
talked about this before. Their atheism isn't a religion, so they don't have any basis or beliefs.
Atheism is a religion.
It's not a religion.
Oh, atheism is a religion.
It's not supposed to be. But anyway, it's just funny to me to see the hypocrisy of one day somebody exercising their free speech, and it's so offensive and horrible. And the next day, somebody issuing their right of free speech is, it's okay because it's free speech. But this is where they are. They're arguing arguing topics of gay marriage. And as we see in Washington State today, I don't know if you saw this, they're changing what goes on the birth certificate or marriage certificates, and they're eliminating the words bride and groom from marriage certificates, and in place putting person A or B, or spouse A or spouse B. The words bride and groom, along with husband and wife, are about to become a lost language in Washington State as officials prepared to remove the terms from marriage and divorce certificates. This is what they're focusing on. Well, we have a financial Armageddon situation looming over the United States.
Before we get into that, let me finish my thought on folks. If you can do this, do a favor for me. Just go to HomelandSecurityUS.com and CanadaFreePress.com. And God bless Canada Free Press. Let me tell you something. God bless those people, Brian and Judy. God bless you folks. I don't believe that they're with us tonight, but I've got to tell you, they are. Thank you for being a shining light in the North, outside of the United States. But what I was going to say is just, if you don't mind, please, these articles or these reports coming from, it's not about me. It's about the information, and it's about the information from the person that I've been interviewing. Now, this person is doing a lot of things to try to get this information out there, a lot of things. But and there's a reason why he's not come forward, identified himself. There's a very good reason why, and I can't tell you why. I wish I could tell you why, but I can't.
But it's not like the man's a ghost.
Well, I don't know, Joe. You tell me, is he?
No.
Okay.
From what I know, and I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah.
But the information is not just limited to you. There are other avenues.
Oh, yes.
And people.
Oh, believe me. Yeah, yeah. We are just one outlet. Okay. This is a man that, and seriously, as I've gotten to know him, I have to say that he is, I've got the utmost respect for this man. This man is much braver, has more courage, I believe, than I could perhaps ever muster. This man is, I cannot say enough good about him, okay? And he's a God-fearing man, and he's putting his life on the line. And when I say that, I'm not exaggerating. That's not an exaggeration. He's putting his life on the line. And we've talked about that briefly, just briefly, the fact that he's putting his life on the line to get this information out there. And you know what? It's not the first time he's done it. It's not the first time he's ever put his life on the line. But this is perhaps one of the most potentially frightening periods for him. And we need to keep him in our prayers and our thoughts, but I'll just say this, Joe, that I look up to this man, and I just hope that I could be as good as type of man that he is. And it's not false praise or, you know, false humility on my part. It's just the way it is. I mean, this guy is a good guy. And he's got the information that he's got. He wants to get out, and he's done a lot to get it out there. But folks, the issue is this: go to Canada Free Press and spread the article up. You know, Canada Free Press's article, both parts one and part two, HomelandSecurityUS.com, same thing. Some people don't like HomelandSecurityUS.com. Fine, it's on Canada Free Press. You know, whatever. But the information just needs to get out there. And part three is coming. By the way, part three, and the end of part two is important. The end, the final section of part two, please. It's very important to understand. I'll just say this, and I'll read the end of part two on right now, because it is that important. Yeah, sure I will. As soon as I grab it here, I've got to tell you, it's just I'm.
Well, while you're looking for that,
yeah,
I'm going to go through.
Well, it's right here. I'm sorry.
What we're going
to here it is. Wait, that way we won't break stride here. Here it is. We are engaged in a real war here with Iran and Syria, and by extension with Russia and China, and we are being lied to about it every step of the way, and the lies are getting worse. But so are the attempts to stop the truth from getting out. I asked him, what do you mean by that? He said, what do you think the recent directive issued by Obama, the one you wrote about insider threats, is all about? Obama does not want the American people to know the truth about what's going on. He's doubled down to stop leaks like this. But you know what? He just might be too late, because we're not done here. I'm not done talking, and there's much more that needs to be exposed. Think about that.
And there's an article today questioning Obama's transparency called Walk the Walk, Mr. President. And it goes into, as he said, he would be the most transparent administration. And they come out and say that his whole career has been hiding things and making false claims and taking executive privileges to avoid questions from Fast and Furious to Benghazi. He did all kinds of different cover-ups, and we know his whole identity is a mystery. and he is not transparent by any means, and this will continue. They'll continue to censor. They'll continue to cover up and lie and cheat and steal as long as they have to pull off what they're doing, which is one of the greatest heists in the history of the world. I saw this today, you know, as the fiscal cliff is looming, Obama is set to be in Hawaii for a $20 million vacation. I'm sorry, 20-day, $4 million vacation.
Gee, I wonder if we're going to stay in the same villa we're going to stay in for our vacation.
What's a vacation?
Yeah.
Actually, I can't say that. I had a short honeymoon this spring. So, but anyway.
Well, yeah, you went to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Obama is reportedly scheduled to be vacationing in Hawaii on January 2nd. The date billions in spending cuts and untold consequences for the economy will kick in if the deal is not reached on the fiscal cliff. According to the Hawaii Reporter, residents who live in the area of Oahu, where Obama and his family vacation, have been told that the unusual restrictions on their movements during an Obama stay will be in place for 21 days from December 17th through January 6th. White House has not officially announced the vacation. It is unclear if the travel plans were finalized or if the Obamas will be in Hawaii for the entire three-week window covered by the restrictions.
Huh.
In the past, Obama has made sure he got his vacation time in, even extending its schedule, Hawaii sojourn, after being forced to delay its start because of negotiations with Congress.
You know, folks, let me ask you a question, and I'm being honest, because I think most normal people would feel this way. If I lived in the White House, I'd never leave. I mean, that's like being on vacation. Look, I understand. It's like being on vacation there. I'm going to say I'd never leave.
You have a lot of options when you're there, when you're the president.
Well, I know, but vacation from what? Okay, and
all this criminal activity, I mean, it takes a toll on a man.
Well, yeah, that's true.
All this worrying about indictment, I guess he's not really worrying because he's a protected individual.
You know, I did get a piece of information today that I don't believe anyone has, and I'll say this. Obama is threatened by the Benghazi information, all right? The fact that, realize, folks, again, we are not the only ones pushing this information out into the open. It seems that way because it's getting traction through our efforts. However, this is one thing that Obama did confide into someone close to the campaign, that of all of the issues that are facing him right now, it's not the fiscal cliff. It's not anything else. It's the leaks regarding Benghazi that threaten him the most, and he's extremely worried about that. Take it for what it's worth. That's on good authority. I've got that on good authority. So let's push hard on that. If he's worried, let's make him more worried. Can I say that on radio? I guess I can. I guess I just did.
No, I'm coming back now.
Okay. That's backwards. No, I'm serious. If that is a vulnerability, then let's exploit that.
But, yeah. Okay. But, I mean, anyway. I just don't see anything happening to him.
My goodness.
And today, some real important news on top of your Benghazi update. The United Nations has upgraded Palestine's status. The General Assembly, UN, voted to overwhelmingly recognize Palestine as a non-member observer state, delivering a stinging defeat to American and Israeli efforts to block the Palestinian bid. There was a 193-member UN body voted 138-9 in favor of the resolution that stops well short of conferring independence on the Palestinians but grants their territory limited privileges as a state.
Wow.
In other words, the land of Israel is being divided, correct? Well, they are turning this into a two-state situation.
Well,
this is the beginning of a two-state
solution
that they're looking at.
I'm trying to be accurate here. Yes.
Just from past knowledge, when I see this happen, they're getting their foot in the door. This is how I look at it as. Though this isn't a full-blown statehood, they're not granting them all the I don't even know what the perks or benefits are of being a recognized state. From what I understand, they can, and what they want to do is go after Israel for war crimes. This might allow them to do that, if I understand this correctly.
Well, you know, I don't know what precisely their intent is. I do know this. The Palestinians have a state. It's called Jordan. All right. In fact, at the time that the British carved up the area, they you've got to understand, folks, you must understand the history of that area. Israel, or the Jews, have a historical and biblical right to the land. And when I say the land, I'm not talking about that little slice that's known as Israel today. I'm talking about from the sea to into Iraq, basically. I mean, it's
from the rivers. Wasn't it from the Tigris, the Euphrates River to the
Mediterranean?
Yeah,
it's huge. Okay, but what happened was the British, after inviting the Jews to return after the war, sold over 75% of what was known as Palestine, informally or known as Palestine, to the Arabs. And they created a new country called Transjordan. Now, this is an extremely important but very seldom talked about or taught fact. Understand this, 75% of what had been offered to the Jews was sold behind their backs to the Arabs instead. Not only were the Arabs offered a separate Palestinian state at that time, but they'd been living in one since the early part of the 20th century. It was Jordan, a country that was three times the size of what was offered or what remained for the Jews. You know, at the time, the Jews said, okay, we'll accept this, because a sliver, a small piece of the promise was better than no land at all. But, you know, the Arabs didn't even want the Jews to have even a sliver of land. And, you know, that's what happened as soon as the Jews got statehood or Israel was created. Five Arab nations declared war on them within 24 hours. Look, no matter what happens, it's according to the Bible. And you know what? There are people out there, you know, saying, well, you know, the Jews are behind everything they own. Please don't do that. Please do not do that. Do not. You know, I'm tired tonight. I really don't want to argue. Yeah, I really don't. Well, of course, I will.
Leave me alone.
You know, but and the term Palestine. I mean, that term only became popular. Palestinian, to be more accurate. That was a creation of Yasser Arafat. That term back in the 60s, he created that term, and Palestine was actually was named after that area was conquered. It's a derivative of Philistina, which is kind of like a thumb in the eye of the Jews. And it's a really, it's a long history. But Israel did come into existence in a legal manner. It has a right to exist. It has a right to larger land than what it has. And these people that are pushing this modern-day revisionist history about Israel, they're going against the Old Testament and Genesis, and they're poking their finger in the eye of God. And let me say this, God help them. Because it's not going to be pretty. And if the U.S. ultimately falls on the side against Israel, and say what you will, folks, go ahead. Say, Zionist. Oh, you're a Zionist. Yeah. Okay, well, first of all, half of you folks that make that outlandish claim don't even know what it means. God help you. Seriously.
I hear you there. There is a lot of anti-Semitism and confusion when it comes to Israel, the people of Israel. And what is brought about, what has brought that about really is a combination of different things. One being people thinking that they are smarter than history, smarter than the Bible, and they can prove it's wrong in a fairy tale. And when you look at it from that angle, it's not hard to see or understand the Bible verses that talk about the people will be, that God will put a great deception or veil over their eyes so they won't be able to see the truth.
Right.
And we can see that happening today because they're, for whatever reason, so many people just can't stand the Jews or Israel, even though it is of little significance as far as landmass and being a country. And it's just absolutely unrealistic why there's so much hate towards such a small nation that really, what have they ever done to anybody that, I mean, in recent history?
Well, you know, and there's a lot of things like people will say, well, look at the, you know, look at the war, the 1967 war. There's a claim that Israel is illegally, and folks, you might watch this on television today on the news or hear people talk about this in various venues that, hey, Israel is illegally occupying a lot of Arab lands. I mean, that they got in 1967, for example, the 1967 war. Well, in 67, 9 different countries, Egypt, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, Algeria, Kuwait, Sudan, Saudi Arabia, and Iraq, all declared war on Israel. Now, imagine that. So it's a small country, they declare war. And they said they were going to exterminate every last Jew. Now, I do recall that, you know, contemporaneously at the time, I recall being I was afraid actually when I heard this, and young at the time and young enough where I really didn't understand history that much, and I was afraid in 1967 because I felt that there was something there. I mean, there's something bigger going on. Radio Cairo, back in May of 1967, said Egypt is ready to plunge into a total war that will be the end of Israel. That was May 17, 1967, by the way. Well, what Israel did was they surprised those 9 countries with a preemptive strike. They defeated the Arabs in 6 days. Imagine that. Hence the name Six-Day War. At the time, their territory was expanded to the West Bank, the Golan Heights, the Gaza Strip, and the Sinai. Now, think about that. Here you got 9 countries on your tail, man. They are just, they just don't want to take your house and your car and your driveway and your property and all that stuff. They want to take your wife, your kids, your pet, and they want to kill them all and kill you too. I mean, you know, imagine that, okay? So Israel said, no, we're not going to have this. They went out and they did the preemptive strike. They got the Gaza Strip. They got the Strip. They got the Sinai. They got the West Bank, Golan Heights. So now these are called, or were called, frequently called the occupied territories. This is part of the illegal occupation. That's where this term comes from, occupied territories. There's no such thing. Sorry, but there's no such thing. You know, when we think of occupying countries, well, we think of an aggressive empire seeking out to just destroy, conquer, occupy, and expand. Not just a small nation that expanded its borders as a means of survival to prevent untrustworthy neighbors from attacking again. I mean, that's what this is all about, or that's what this was all about. But most of the land that had been legally offered to Israel in the Balfour Declaration, and folks, if you don't know about that, I would urge everyone to refer back to the Balfour Declaration before Great Britain sold it behind Israel's back. It was legally offered to Israel, you know. And historically, the land had been the home of the Jews for thousands of years. Now, the United Nations, as we see it today, they are so corrupt. I mean, come on. Are you serious? They're corrupt. But okay, if you are Chris Matthews and you believe in the sanctity of the United Nations, well, then you should you should revert back to the United Nations. What do you call those things? The United Nations? The resolutions. Thank you. Resolutions. That, in other words, that Egypt or Egypt, Israel was allowed to exist. I mean, so at the very going tracing it back to the United Nations at the very start. Well, Israel is offered more land, and it should be much bigger based on UN resolutions. So, you know, in one way, you're saying, well, we should follow what the United Nations says today. But wait a minute, what about back in the 40s?
Well, when it doesn't go their way, obviously they have to change it.
Okay, in the 60s and such.
We have a couple of callers. I don't know if you want to take them.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? I just hope one of the callers is the person that thinks that their voice is in my head about the source. So, and we'll give you time. So, all right.
We're going to go to area code 813 first. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report. Area code 813. All right. And you're just dropped there, I see. All right. Let's try this again.
Sorry. We'll play dialing for dollars here. Yeah, and it's but while we're doing that, you know.
All right, okay. 484.
484.
You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey, how you doing? This is Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Yeah, I was just how you doing? I was just giving a call. I was just saying the spiritual warfare going on right now, like with how much hatred there is for the name of Jesus in almost every aspect, any industry going on, and the how bad atheists are with believing how ignorant some of the comments are said. Like, I'm not sure if you heard of Jamie Foxx calling Obama the Lord and Savior. Yeah, like, this is really getting out of hand, and I'm not sure if, I mean, you guys see any type of redemption that we have or any type of grace that God will possibly give to bring to America with all this evil going on in people's minds?
I'll tell you, I do see God bringing grace to Americans individually if they were to turn from their ways and follow what the Lord says and rely on Him wholeheartedly. Unless people make an individual change, you know, that's not going to happen. And I definitely don't see a collective change for America, not with the attitude and direction it's heading in.
Not at all. No, I agree.
Yeah. And I'm personally an ex-atheist, and if there's any atheist that's listening, just to let you know, I've studied evolution. I've studied every argument that atheists can make, and all of those arguments have led me to Christ at the end of the day, no matter what happened. Even if it was other religions, all the studying of society, everything led me back to Christ, and it's almost a miracle how it led me back to it. Yeah, it's like no way anyone can say there isn't a God. And there's a saying Martin Luther King said, or I think someone said before him, saying that the universe leans towards justice, and it's definitely true. And it's better to be safe than sorry than just be an atheist and just say, you know, if you're wrong, you have something very much to lose. But if you're right, you don't really have much to lose. But why end up being wrong in the end? Know, let scientists make your eternal decision for you.
Yeah, well, you know what? You're going to be dead a long time, okay? And I laugh when I say that. It's death is a beginning. It's not an end, and the journey is going to be wondrous. And I think that our time. But aside from that. What changed your mind?
Really?
Okay. What changed your mind? What took you from atheism to a believer?
It's actually kind of funny. It seemed like God literally said to me, almost in a joking way, that I better act like I know when I started doing a study on the Nephilim. I first was going through evolution and things, and then I seen things talking about ancient aliens, and then I was led to Steve Krell and Tom Horn, and they explained so many extra things going on, and my father's in the military, and he confirmed some of the things that happened, And it was like, okay, this is going way too deep, but it's scary that it leads right to the Bible, and the Bible is saying everything that is going on word for word. So when I see people who are exposing things like you guys are, but they are so close-minded to the name of Christ, it's like there's nothing you really can tell them. They're just not going to listen to it or anything. And it's right there in the Bible that they hate so much, in the book that they hate so much. A lot of atheists never even really read the Bible. They just let the followers distort their understanding of the faith.
Yeah, and one problem I see with Christians and getting in a, I've seen lots of debates between atheists and Christians, and it's sad because if Christians just knew what was in the Bible, they could debate an atheist on any point. But it seems like a lack of knowledge on the Christians. But the atheism agenda, you know, it just seems to the theory of evolution, and you see the ancient alien theories like you referenced, and how I see it on the History Channel, Discovery Channel, how they're so quick to say there's extraterrestrial life out there, not proving or saying it's existing and how it was created, but so many people will believe in aliens that came out of nowhere with no background or historical reference, but the story of the Bible, you know, that they just dismiss that as a fairy tale. And
explains it all, that.
Yeah, and in the Bible it says, you know, there will be a strong delusion among the wicked in the end, and I really think that's what's happening. Delusion being given to the people, and it is to bring about the plan of the Lord.
Yeah, and just listening to Rick Wiles and everything, I'm starting to see that a lot of people are going to the spiritual warfare because I see quotes says all the time, there's no solution, any type of solution for a spiritual problem, actually. So it's just good to have people that, you know, you can conversate with and listen to every single night and not feel as though you're going crazy, because some people would think people are going crazy when you try to tell them these things. They think you need to go to a doctor and things. And then you show it to them in their face and there's a block, like, I'm not going to get into all that, but with the whole Christmas holidays and things like that, showing them what the Bible says about that, there's a block because we already have been programmed to accept evil and look at things as a, you know. But, yeah, I just appreciate everything you guys do. You're just keeping me awake and, you know, not going, getting dragged back into the old lifestyle that I used to have. And I just
want to thank you. Yeah, well, thank you. You know, and you've got it's because of your persistent you know, want and desire to follow the truth, and you know, don't sell yourself short. You know, keep on the right path. And but thank you for being a listener. And you know, it's great to know that you're out there. It's great. I'll tell you what. Well, I'll tell you, it's fascinating though. It's fascinating to me to hear you as an atheist, or former atheist, I should say, you know, saying, hey, boy, you know, I converted, because especially now with all the, as you point out, just the spiritual warfare that's going on, I see things going the other way. It's great to hear from you.
It's like God is telling anyone who is not believing in him, you better act like you know now before it gets too late. Make a step before your feet are planted.
That's an excellent point. Anything else
thank
before
you guys,
we
leave, you know? No, that's
thank
everything.
Thank you much.
God bless you. All right.
God bless you too. All right, man.
All right.
Fantastic, Joe. You know, it's again, it's a great story. And I wonder how many really, when you look at atheism, I just wonder how many real atheists there are as opposed to lazy people.
Yeah, I know what you mean. People who,
I don't believe.
Somebody put it in the chat here perfectly about believing in aliens. Birdie Buddy said, believing in aliens doesn't put moral demands on people, and believing in God does. And I think that's what you're referring to.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so true. Anything to get out of doing what's right, or something that is above and beyond the normal, puts people in a bad way who aren't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
who aren't looking further ahead. But we're going to go back to 813 area code. They called back in.
All right.
Let's see if it works this time. Area code 813, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. You know what? I want to mention a dream that Obama had. And the first part of it, he said that he was walking down the road and everyone was waving at him and greeting him, coming out of their houses, greeting. And then further along down the road, people started running from him in horror. They were looking behind him and they were going in their houses and shutting the doors. And then he said further along, he got down the road and there was a bright light. He stopped under the bright light. He saw the tall figure appear and had a loincloth on, and the eyes were dark and black. And I knew that wasn't our God. And that thing told him it was time. And see, what I have been ready to see as these last 4 years of his are going to be pure hell. And they're going to be, I guess, first 6 months to be okay, but the last 3.5 years will be the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. I do believe his dream is going to come true. I did not see any celebrating behind him being reelected. I really didn't. The noise I heard the first time he got elected, I didn't hear that. I think he started to think, and I thought, I think people are starting to see what they voted for, especially their big 501c3 churches. I want to know what your thoughts are, on that.
Cheryl, I could not.
I'll tell you what.
You're saying,
yeah,
like,
I don't know what you're talking on, Cheryl, but I got to tell you, it's almost as if you're talking in a different language. I'm not trying to be funny. We just can't understand what you're saying. The audio is horrific. I don't know. Are you talking?
And the chat can't hear her either.
Yeah. Cheryl, I'll tell you what. We're going to have to cut you loose because the audio is so bad that we really can't. Please don't take it personally, but we can't understand what you're saying.
And if you can, send me an email and I'll address it on air via email. You can just email it to joehagman24@aol.com.
Or jhagman@homelandsecurityus.com.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot easier.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, Cheryl.
Sorry about that.
That's very muffled. All right, area code 304. And if you guys want to call in, 661-244-9839 is the number. 661-244-9839. We're going to 304 now. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hello. Hey, this is Phil from West Virginia.
Yes.
Hey, Phil.
And,
what's up?
Yeah, I called on Thanksgiving night, and I had, I always try to listen to Steve Quayle when he's on, and I know he usually doesn't call on anybody else but with you guys anymore, and it's just a pleasure to have believers, and I believe we are in the last of a grace period before really something bad is going to happen. It can happen any time, actually.
Yeah, it can. We don't know. I mean, we're not promised tomorrow, and we don't know what's going to happen from one minute to the next. And I think that the, Steve Quayle is now to the point where he's saying, you know, what's more important to talk about? And it's his assessment that what's the most important to talk about is, of course, matters of the soul. And that's where he's putting his efforts. And thankfully, and we're very very happy that he's chosen our venue to do that. Now, and we really appreciate you joining us for our Thanksgiving roundtable family discussion. I mean, it's nice. It's nice to be part of a like-minded group. You know, what do you see taking place here? And I know you're kind of in an interesting area because I look at where you live, and I know the area because I've spent some time down around there and such. But I know it's kind of like an amalgamation of populations of sorts. It's kind of like it's kind of like the canary in the coal mine down there. That's why I look at your area. What are you hearing?
Yeah, interesting. I'm originally from. Well, I I was born in California, and then we moved to Idaho, and then I was in Oregon. That's where I spent most of my life. And then I moved here 20 years ago, and I've been here ever since. And my mom, my brother, and I got about three brothers out here, but they're families. And it just seems like, you know, the Lord's telling me this is the safest place as any to be. I mean, if I were going to be someplace, because everything has its problems. I don't care where you are. My brother, one brother, lives out in Klamath Falls, and that's a neat place to be, but, you know, who knows? Who knows what the future holds? But we know that we're in God's hands, and that's all we know. And without Him, none of us are going to make it anyway. And that's just either we're going to be blind, but with Him, we have hope, and He is our hope. And I just want to just say that we keep lifting up His name, lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. And that's where our hope lies, in Him and Him alone.
I totally agree. We agree as well. Absolutely. You know, it's, we have to get serious now. You know what? Now is the time. Well, it's past time, but now is really the time for all of us to get serious. Mental, spiritual, God-like preparations.
In the little forward message of this book, Pastor Bronner, which I've never heard of, says the most important decision you'll make in this life is where you'll spend your eternal life. Once you and I have made that choice, we're not only prepared to die, we're finally ready to live.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right.
That's true. I just
very good.
I was listening to Rick. I've been listening to Rick Wiles for a while, and they were saying yesterday how that, you know, we as men of God and people of God, we need to find each other. We need to help each other and bring our gifts that we possess to everyone, and likewise with everybody else. You know, we need to start looking to each other instead of and trying to help each other and what I mean.
Yeah. What's the best way to do that? Well, Joe and I have been talking over the last several weeks, actually. What's the best way to be able to to bring us even closer and to kind of work together, preparing for the times when we might not be able to converse like this? You know, what preparations can we do? I mean, what can we do to help others find like-minded people in their proximity?
Yeah, I know Alex Jones has a new, my brother was telling me about it, but a new social site, and I'm wary of social sites. I don't care. I don't put my stuff out anywhere.
Right.
It's just, I don't know how to do it. I really don't. I pray about it, and that's about it.
Well, I mean,
and I call you guys, and that's how I'm reaching out. It's just, I don't, you know, I'm surrounded by very good, very solid people. My family is very solid, and it's a blessing. Believe me, it's a blessing to be surrounded by such. I would rather be surrounded by people I could trust and like-minded people than have all the money in the world. The money, one of these days, ain't going to do you no good. We're going to have each other to survive.
Well, you know what? It's a blessing for you to have family, like-minded people around you, and we want to help everyone within our sphere to help them. Find people like you have, you know, because we're going to need this. We are going to need to depend upon one another. And if we're suddenly not here, or if we're suddenly cut off from things, if we all are, we want to be able to help our listeners, have a ready-made group of like-minded people. So this is what we're trying to do. And I would urge any of our listeners to call in with any type of suggestions and ways we can do that. But certainly thank you for the call. Is there anything else on your mind?
Yeah, thank you guys very much for all the work you do. And God bless you. You guys have a good night.
All right. Thank
you. God bless you, too. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, let's see that. That's fantastic. All right.
No, we do need to get like-minded people together, and there will be a time when we're not here, when nobody will be available for broadcasting, as the world will be in peril and chaos.
Well,
and that's the importance of, where we come in to give our opinion on the news and on information that comes to us and spiritual matters. All of that should be taken to the Lord, what's important, what's not important, what we or you individually need to focus on, what we individually need to focus on. And because when the time comes when there is nobody around to talk with, to talk to have a fellowship with, it's just going to be you and the Lord. And if that bond is not strong, then you're going to have a major problem. So
even if we do have that belief behind us, when we're still together, I mean, we can feed off one another, feed off the faith of each other. That sounds kind of strange, but we can build off the faith, strengthen each other from each other's faith. But in the practical sense too, we have to think, because if my source is correct and my sources are correct, not just one but multiple sources. May, June, July, it's going to be tough, and we might not be in the same. Things might not look like they do today. So,
which is hard to imagine, because things don't look like they did, 4 years ago. And 4 years ago, things didn't look like they did 10 years ago. It's just this rock rolling down a hill we can't stop, and it's getting closer to the edge. I want to hit on this piece of news here. We got about 9 minutes till the break. TSA claims Congress has no jurisdiction over it. Did you see this? Or did you hear about this story? There was a hearing scheduled for Thursday, today, by the Subcommittee of Aviation, which is part of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee.
Say what again? Repeat that?
TSA claims Congress has no jurisdiction over it.
Okay, I did see that.
John Pistoli was invited to discuss how to better improve the nation's airport passenger security system through common sense solutions at a subcommittee or the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. And he said that no jurisdiction of the TSA, Congress does not have jurisdiction over the TSA. And it says, according to a brief titled How to Best Improve Our Nation's Airport and Passenger Security System Through Common Sense Solution. It was submitted by Subcommittee Chairman Thomas Petrie, a Republican out of Wisconsin. The purpose of this hearing is to examine the impact that the regulations and policies of the TSA have on aviation passenger experience and the free flow of aviation commerce. The subcommittee will hear from government, industry, and labor witnesses on their observations and suggestions on TSA policies.
Well,
Pistoli was invited to attend. He has declined and issued a statement via the TSA website. By the U.S. House of Representatives rules, which state that the TSA, or the Transportation Infrastructure Committee, has no jurisdiction over the TSA, no representative from the TSA will be present at the subcommittee on November 29th. TSA will continue to work with its committees of jurisdiction to pursue the effective and efficient security solutions. In the 112th Congress alone, TSA witnesses have testified at 38 hearings and provided 425 briefings for members of Congress. But anyway.
Well, I think the first sentence alone speaks volumes, which is what? That he does not believe the Congress has jurisdiction over the TSA. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. They do not have jurisdiction over the TSA.
Now, see, folks, and this is why this is so critical for people to understand. Everybody's got to understand this. It's not just the renegade nature of the TSA. It's the fact that if Congress doesn't have oversight,
who does?
And I'll tell you who does. It's the executive branch.
And
we're seeing this more and more, the centralization of all of these organizations, these departments under the executive branch. What does that ultimately mean? It means tyranny.
and listen to what this committee put together and has cited for areas of reform that are needed in a TSA. They say TSA waste in developing and storing screening equipment and technology, passenger screening reform. Private federal screening model is more efficient and cost-effective. Private federal screening model. It says it could save taxpayers $1 billion. A decade of costly TSA missteps. TSA wastes over $200 million every year on flawed behavior detection program. It has failed to approve biometric technology for pilots or port workers. One of the chairmen says, unfortunately, the TSA has lost its way. And whether they're really going after the heart of the issue or not, which is, does the TSA even have a right to be in the airports?
The TSA
doesn't matter. By Jonathan Stolle.
Is illegitimate,
yeah.
Legally illegitimate organization. And, you know, I am so, and I want to apologize to everybody if I ever, and I believe I might have supported its creation initially. And if I did,
we're going to put you on the firing line.
Boy, I am so sorry. But I hope I've made up for it.
I forgive you. I forgive you, and I'm sure the listeners do as well.
Man. What was I thinking?
Yeah. Also, this piece here, lawsuit seeks injunction against EPA gas chamber experiments. This was sent to me today. And it says a lawsuit filed in the federal court of Alexandria, Virginia, seeks injunctive relief from human experimentation being conducted by the EPA, the experiments involving gassing human subjects with PM. The New York Health Department defines PM, fine particle matter.
Yeah, I get that, but what?
In one of these experiments, individuals were given a breathing apparatus through which they inhaled diseased fuel piped in from a truck parked outside.
Well, what's diseased fuel?
I don't know.
Okay, so,
but this is very troublesome. There was a lawsuit in 2004.
Wait, can I sign up for that? I mean, what do they pay? What do they pay the volunteers?
This isn't funny.
Man.
But this rings a very familiar bell to the gas chambers of Nazi Germany with the police state DHS, really non-police police agencies that have are turning into these huge monsters now.
Isn't this what Nazi Germany did?
Yes.
I mean,
yes. And now we see the EPA has drones. What else are they doing? They're buying bullets.
Well, yeah.
Now they're making gas chambers and having experiments. It's just out of this world stuff, and this is what we can expect to see, you know, in the coming future of America. It's going to be a police state. It's going to be a rough police state. We're going to go through tribulations and trials with these police chambers.
I think we've been taken over. Has there been a coup?
Possibly.
You know, I'm gonna tell you, after our show last night, I did speak with my source, and he was laughing a little bit, and because remember last night during the show, at certain points we would be cut off. Okay, and I don't know, folks, if you remember that, or if the folks listening last night, remember, we dropped off. Okay. Well, he explained the technology behind that and was kind of chuckling, saying, well, there was a time, because of his work in the intelligence industry, where he had access to that very equipment that would behind that. So,
and I have PDFs, hundreds of pages long, talking about electronically attacking internet sites, shows, streaming webcasts, they touch on every level, how they can do it, how they can hurt each venue, how they can hurt each show through electromagnetic pulses to electro frequencies and phone lines and cutting off your internet, doing different things to sabotage your show.
That's correct.
Now, I don't know what that noise was.
Yeah, I don't either. It could have been, you know, could have been Troy. I accidentally hit a wrong button, or
thanks,
it's
Troy.
You know, it, well,
there are things that happen just naturally and accidentally, but you know, when he was talking about the technology out there, and in fact he was saying, hey, you know, there were times when even he was on conversations on unsecured lines where, for example, if you would say the word cocaine, the voltage meter on the line would dip. Think of it like if you're on a house phone and you've got maybe three extensions. Every time you pick up an extension, the voltage on your house phone will drop. The impedance will drop. And that's how, folks, if you want to know, for example, if you ever have a, if you think, boy, my hardwire phones are tapped, well, what they used to do, and I have not done this in a long time, so I'm not sure how they do it now, but it used to be where you would take this impedance meter, you'd go into someone's home, and you would measure the impedance on the line, and if you would see a drop in the voltage, you know that your phone call is being monitored. That's how they used to do it. I'm not sure how they do it now, but it's just odd. So there's a technology out there to attack us and to attack shows like ours, and to even attack you, not the listeners of the show, but you. For instance, if you have if you're on the telephone and they're monitoring you, or if they want to, you know, press interference or pose interference against you, they can do that. It's not that difficult.
No, not at all.
So, anyway.
We're up against the top of the hour break, folks. We'll be right back after these short messages. If you want to call in, give us a call at 661-244-9839. You can find us on Facebook at the Hagman and Hagman Report, or King K9 also on YouTube and Twitter.
Oh, Douglas Hagman, I think I'm on there. I'm just not good with it, that's all.
We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Hi, folks. Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's CanadaFreePress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Ilana Johnson-Powell, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly. Follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
You better wake up fast and listen to this, America. The Obama campaign has launched attack squads disguised as truth teams dedicated to intimidating and silencing all political dissent carried over the internet that criticizes the Marxist Obama. Truth Squad specifically focused on covering up Obama's endless trail of lies, corruption, and subversion, and using the Gestapo power of our own government to police and censor the internet and shut down websites that dare to carry the real truth about Obama's Marxist coup. Remember the names of these Gestapo-style agencies at work right there in your neighborhood: KeepingHisWord.com, KeepingGOPHonest.com, and AttackWatch.com. KGB, SS, and Gestapo-style police state gangster organizations at work to silence the important voices of patriot dissent. some of which have already been shut down by Obama's orders. Adolf Hitler would have been proud. We're the 21st century Tea Party Patriots.
Hold on to your seat. The Hagman and Hagman flight is now taking off. Doug and Joe Hagman have cleared the runway of TSA agents, jihadists, political crackpots, and global elitists. Now get ready for some real news. Here they are, Doug and Joe Hagman.
Welcome back to hour number two, ladies and gentlemen, of the Hagman and Hagman Report. I'm Doug Hagman. With me is my co-host, Joe Hagman. He's my son. I have to admit that, I suppose, but I'm just very proud of the fact to be able to broadcast with my son, and we are the premier father and son radio show on the Internet. And I just want to say thank you so much to everyone listening. Thank you for your belief and trust in us, and thank you for your investment of time. Your 3 hours of time. You could be doing a lot of other things, but yet you're choosing to listen to us, interact with others in the chat room, and we respect that. We want to be respectful of your time and provide as much information as possible. And I just want to say thank you, too, to our fantastic stars in the North, the Canada Free Press. They've done so very much for us to make sure that the story about Benghazi and other important issues. What a group! And I know that we do play their the promo for their website, Canada Free Press. But I got to tell you something, okay? There is something going on in America right now where there is an attempt to silence the people on the inside. Canada Free Press has stepped up to the plate and said, "Look, come to us." They've become the Statue of Liberty in Canada. The statue, not the Statue of Liberty, the actual working constitution. I mean, the truth bearers, they provide the ability to pass the information that needs to be passed out to the American people. And we want to thank them so much. Brian, Judy, and of course Kiko, the hardest working of the bunch. Kiko is always on duty, and I just want to thank all three of them and others, of course, but the three, those three in particular, I'm very proud to call them my friends and colleagues, our friends and colleagues. And like I said, you know, bookmark CanadaFreePress.com and visit them often, and certainly spread the articles that they write on the on your social network sites, because without them, we'd be in trouble. We really would. And
speaking of articles,
yes,
Judy wrote an article about Agenda 21.
Oh, yeah, you know something? Oh,
today.
That's so important. Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up. Agenda 21.
I'm pulling it up right here. The way out of abomination is the collapse of Agenda 21. And it says, as dominant as he is in our worries and thoughts, the man they call Barack Hussein Obama is not the most important agent of change in daily life. Deliberately flamboyant by design, he is the most noticeable one. Obama is the handicapped decoy for this particular point in time, the one who draws attention away from the one-worlders who work to capture America by stealth, the seemingly impossible to remove Candyman, enabled by 50% of the U.S. voting population. As a prime decoy, Obama is the main player on the current politician-populated world stage. While their antics keep all eyes trained their way, the real agent of change works 24/7 in the background, laying the groundwork to enslave you. That was the beginning of the article, and folks, go read this article. It is right on the money, talking about how the real agents of change are in the works 24/7 in the background, as they are. You know, we have one face, the president,
mm-hmm.
and as Judy puts it in here, a personal army of czars and stars, not to mention the non-government organizations, the UN, the different one-world thinking people, as she puts it, these think tanks, these progressives, the communists, the neocons, the Nazis, are all working on ways to enslave us, take the land and resources. And Agenda 21 is the plan on how to do that.
Now, I hope everyone is, and I'm sure everyone's familiar with Agenda 21. It's described as a non-binding, voluntary, implemented action plan of the United Nations. The buzz phrase is sustainable development.
Yeah.
Okay, so anytime you hear the word sustainable development, you know that this is a communist. It's communist. It's bad. Okay, mm-hmm. Sustainable development is not good. Refers to really a method of human development which resources I'm just trying to think of
the basic plan, the end game of the plan is to put all the population in 25% of the land.
Yes.
Cordon off the other 75% for what they call what you see now, the wetland movement, the taking away people's homes, claiming they're on wetlands, and they want the wilderness is more important than the people.
Right.
The environment, even though that the problems going on with the changes in the earth are not caused by man, some of them are, but, you know, the global warming hoax, it's not man's fault, but they set this Agenda 21 up, the sustainable development. This is where the smart meters come from. This is where so much of, what we're seeing with private property being abolished, this is where this comes from. And it all stems back to the UN summit in Rio in 1983.
Well,
Maurice Strong read the Lucius Trust invocation prayer to lead the ceremony off in 1983.
Yeah, can you think of a better way? Now, in all things United Nations and all things that are communist in nature, and really this is communist, and I'm not going to color it any other way. Would it surprise you to know that during the 1980s, the World Bank, their role grew and they began intervening with economic and social policies in the third world. This can be traced back to the World Bank, but even before that, folks, you remember Bretton Woods, 1945, the Bretton Woods Agreement, okay? This had ties to the World Bank and that third world involvement of into economic and social policies. Okay, this is absolutely incredible. A number of people and organizations are involved. Look, the free markets are said to have been built on a distortion of international order, which is totally untrue. I mean, their premise is built on a lie.
Overpopulation.
Yeah. And I would urge everyone to research things like the Brundtland, Brundt Land Commission, Brundtland Commission, which is the new name or the more recent name of the World Commission on Environment and Development.
We got to put that PDF section together.
We
because
do.
I have so much between treaties and between the UN and the U.S. with Agenda 21 involved. And we have to put this together and present it because it is so important. And I look at this, though, in one way, thinking there's no way that they can accomplish this plan, not with a free public.
No.
But we look at where we're heading. We look at a possibility of an economic collapse, and maybe they don't have to start with FEMA camps. Maybe they can create the greatest depression and, start with these sustainable development communities. Then they bring in the real big crash and move from there. And, there's different – they have all these plans and, contingency plans and contingency plans for contingency plans. They have every scenario played out and both sides, what could happen and what their reaction would be. So it's like they're 100 steps ahead of us on this earth.
And they are.
On this earth.
On this earth.
And worldly thing.
That's correct. And folks, I don't know if you have the listeners to this program, I'll throw this out there as a question. Have you received or have you seen the local, your local Agenda 21 planning guide. Now, it's being packaged and sold really nicely as protecting the environment. But the sustainable development aspects, the policies, are more far-reaching than just our earthly fields and streams. I mean, it's really unbelievable. There was, in fact, this has made news recently. The March 2011 Cobb County Comprehensive Plan, that's in Georgia, this is supported by the county council, the county, I mean, Cobb County. They support the advancement of sustainable development policies as defined by the United Nations, all right? And think about bike paths and about nature trails. Oh, this is all good things. I mean, you know, okay, so in theory, it's good. But what they're attempting to do is they're attempting to, as you said, Joe, they're attempting to stack and pack people in shipping containers, basically. Their agenda is much more far-reaching. It's beyond the care and control of the environment. It's about control of the population, about the people. It's about eugenics. It's about it's a nefarious program. And as you pointed out too at the Rio summit, the invocation by Soros, the Lucius
Mario Stone.
Yes, I'm sorry. Same person, just different name. No, I'm kidding about that. Don't send me emails about it. Yeah, very strong. Very much. And you'll see all these globalists that are involved in this. But what's happening, and we're seeing this more and more, even in our community, where they are packing the United Nations and the Soroses and the Strongs and people like them are sending people out. They're actually educating these people in the ways. And, for example, we spoke with the gentleman that took care of our broadcasting equipment. In a small community north of us, this woman came in from out of state, became a resident of this township after fulfilling whatever, I think it was a six-month residency requirement, ran for and obtained a position on the township board and began implementing aspects of Agenda 21 to the extent where it has changed the entire complexion, or is in the process of changing the complexion of the community. When you trace back her origins, it traces right back to the United Nations, or her being part of this larger, I don't want to say agenda, but this larger plan of action organized through the United Nations. You'd never know it. And people are buying this hook, line, and sinker every day in communities. Because why? Because they use catchphrases. They use these things as signs of sustainable development and such. But when you follow that through to its ultimate goal, it's all about eugenics. It's all about population control, population manipulation. And the friends or the working partners of Agenda 21, they are the what would you call them? I mean, things like the TSA, actually.
Yeah.
They're all working together.
The EPA.
EPA, TSA. And I know
that the Monsanto.
Yeah.
You have the fascist element here with the corporations, the mega corporation conglomerates, and the government agencies and officials that are doing their bidding.
But what we have to do locally, and this is a fight that we have to take up locally, is to expose these. They're beyond the useful idiots. They are actually, as Lenin would call them, these are the people that are actually attempting to change the world on a local level by starting out locally. But they're more organized than you think they are, and they're more dangerous. Do not undersell them. I hear it all the time. People saying, "Well, Obama, he's just incompetent, and useless." No, but look, do not underestimate your enemy or the enemy of freedom, the enemy of the Constitution. Don't underestimate these people. Don't underestimate your enemy. That's just a part of the Sun Tzu art of war. Don't underestimate the enemy. Don't think for one second Obama is. You know, Obama might be a blubbering idiot. If he is, if that's what you believe. How did he become president? And, you know, who's behind him and who's around him? If he's fangless, then there's got to be people around him who are more dangerous. I guess what I'm saying is just don't undersell or don't underestimate what we're dealing with here and the level of evil that we're dealing with, because evil is, it's evil indeed.
Oh, it's satanic, and that's as evil as it gets, and it's not going to appear as some, big evil presence. It's going to come loving and as a angel of light almost.
Well, and Agenda 21 is, in fact, one of the greatest threats to our freedom.
For those who do not understand Agenda 21, who don't understand sustainable development, and most importantly, if you don't have a knowledge and understanding of the New World Order and what their goals and their mission is, it's hard to fathom, or it's hard to see the negative aspects of what Agenda 21 promotes and how they're developing it because of the wording they use and the way that they put it together. It makes it sound so wonderful and nice and kind of like this utopian society they're trying to accomplish. They make it sound so perfect and if it were this way, it would all be better, when in reality it's not the case. And it just reminds me of the quote in the Bible, "For the lack of knowledge, my people will perish." And it's because, if you don't have a strong foundation in biblical...
Say that again about the Bible scripture.
"For the lack of knowledge, my people perish," or "my people perish for the lack of knowledge."
That was one of the last things said to my good friend, my intelligence source, said to me last or this morning about 2:00 in the morning. That was how the conversation ended. And isn't that an all-encompassing scripture? Or one of the most important scriptures.
But it also talks about, in scriptures, how knowledge will also make people perish. But that is, what I gather from that is a stubborn way of looking at knowledge, thinking evolution, that kind of knowledge, thinking you know more.
Oh, yes. And we're seeing this play out, too, in Benghazi, with the Benghazi story. And that just reminded me of something, that there's a couple of people who have a lot of the information about Benghazi, but not all of it, and they're refusing. And because they've worked in that genre, in that field, in the particular areas within the intelligence community, that they're equipped, that they're very knowledgeable in certain things. But what happens is they adhere to a certain mindset. And they become, what happens is they'll be tapped. We'll say in one case, that, for example, we'll become the go-to person for a person like Glenn Beck, okay? And I'm not just using this as an example. Or it could be, it doesn't matter. We'll say Glenn Beck. And so the person will advise Glenn Beck on what he or she knows about Benghazi and about the experiences that have been built up. From her experiences, and then filling in the blanks about it. What happens is that there's people become unwilling to expand their mind beyond what their comfort zone, I suppose, is the best way to put it. So when they hear things or see things or are confronted with events that they are unfamiliar with personally, they don't want to entertain the thoughts. And I know I'm talking in relative obscure, in an obscure manner, but I mean, think about this. It's sometimes things are not, they cannot be packaged neatly in a box. Sometimes things don't just fit all in this box. The facts, some of the facts are outside of that box of reasonableness and of comfort of knowledge. And it's those facts that will bite you if you're not careful. It's those facts that we have to pay extreme attention to. I hopefully I made sense by that, but I guess what I'm saying is this. Do not rely on what you think you know. Check it out. Research things for yourself. And the same goes with us. If we tell you something, do not take our word for it. Spend your own time, or spend time in your own, do your own research and find out if, in fact, we're speaking the truth or if we're misleading you or whatever. And sometimes, look, sometimes we might be incorrect on a matter You know, and we do our best not to be incorrect, but if that happens, you're able to catch and say, hey, wait a minute, you know, you're off on this or you're incorrect on that. And that helps us to stay sharp. But do your own research when we talk about things. A lot of stuff going on, and we have to keep going here. The fiscal cliff, folks, how much do you know about that? How much do you know?
Well, what I'm seeing here is the fiscal cliff could put millions of taxpayers into AMT shock, AMT being the, where is it, the alternative minimum tax.
Okay.
And I got a audio here of what ABC played. First, I'm going to play a short clip of what Obama said on his first term.
Very good, important. Yes.
And I can make a firm pledge under my plan, no family making less than $250,000 a year will see any form of tax increase. Not your income tax, not your payroll tax, not your capital gains taxes, not any of your taxes.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm sure 99% of our listeners, and certainly us, we fall into that. So, okay, so now... I feel good. Okay. I'm not going to have to pay. I feel great.
Well, they say one of the key questions lurking in the fiscal cliff talks, though well below the public radar, is what happens to the alternative minimum tax, or AMT, implemented in 1969 to make sure upper-income Americans pay their share of taxes. The automated alternative minimum tax has increasingly snared more middle-class income over the years because it was never indexed.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm not inflation rate anymore.
Right. During the 2011 tax year, for example, the alternative minimum tax hit single taxpayers with incomes as low as $48,450 and joint filers making only $74,000. But millions more Americans could be subjected to the AMT in their 2012 returns if Congress fails to reach a deal on the fiscal cliff before the end of the year. That's because the AMT is currently scheduled to hit individuals making as little as $33,750 a year, or joint filers making $45,000 a year. One chief economist at BNY Mellon told CNBC recently he calls it the AMT shock. Normally 4 million people pay the AMT, he explained, but if they don't fix this in the 2012 income, what's due in the 2013 income will be additionally taxed by an extra 28 million households. Your average tax increase for a family in America is $2,200. And I want to play this piece from ABC about the fiscal cliff, and they go wrong on a couple different parts here. Here it is.
The big deadline on the fiscal cliff, 34 days left for Congress to make a deal which will prevent taxes from rising on everyone, including the middle class. And all day, Americans around the country were sending a message telling Washington to get to work and get a job done. Here's ABC Senior White House Correspondent Jake Tapper with the story.
President Obama today continued his public relations push, surrounding himself with supporters who wrote the White House saying they do not want to see a tax increase on the middle class. It's all part of a move to ratchet up pressure on Republicans in Congress to reach a deal before the nation goes off the so-called fiscal cliff, which would increase taxes for the average family by $2,200.
That means less money for buying groceries, less money for filling prescriptions, less money for buying diapers. It means a tougher choice between paying the rent and paying tuition.
But House Republicans will not relent on their opposition to any plan that would raise taxes on the wealthy.
You're not going to grow the economy if you raise tax rates on the top two rates. It'll hurt small businesses. It'll hurt our economy.
The latest ABC News Washington Post poll shows the public is with the president on this debate. 60% support raising taxes on incomes higher than $250,000.
It's going to affect their standard of living very little, if at all. And the rest of us are being asked to pay for a party that we weren't invited to.
Congress doesn't do anything, then... I have a feeling that it's really going to be devastating for next year.
On other proposals, the poll shows the public is mixed when it comes to increasing revenue by eliminating the mortgage income tax deduction. But they decidedly do not want to see the Medicare eligibility age go up from 65 to 67.
It bothers me when they say it's an entitlement when actually we paid all these years when we were working.
I think it's very difficult for people to reach a compromise, which is unfortunate because the nation is what suffers.
Democrats are also reluctant when it comes to reining in entitlement programs, social welfare programs, Diane, such as Medicare. But President Obama today said that he expects there will be a framework for a deal in the next couple of weeks, and he hopes there will be a deal by Christmas. And market analysts said a 100-point bump in the Dow today was because of those optimistic comments by the president and similar ones by Speaker Boehner. Diane.
All right, negotiations underway. Thank you so much.
All right, and I'm sure you guys heard the double talk in that report, starting off by saying even the middle class will be affected by these tax increases.
Might this be not the reason, or might not this be the reason that Americans are stocking up on firearms and ammunition?
And food and other necessities that they will definitely need if the nation goes bankrupt and there is financial unrest and stoppage of this chain of supply and demand.
Remember what we said early on that
we went through this before.
It was coming.
With the numbers, with the $250,000 a year and the small businesses that would affect. And we can see the number of towns and businesses and places that are already preparing for the Obamacare pay increases or health benefit choices they're making. And we see Cincinnati's one of their largest employers laid off all these employees. Or no, that was the flu shot. But there was a couple places that laid off lots of employees because of Obamacare in preparation for the Obamacare increases in revenue they're going to have to pay. And they're going to raise the tax increase on small business. A small business is anything under 50 employees. I mean, if you have 40 employees, you better be making a lot more than $250,000 a year. They're making...
Well, when you say make, are we... Look, you can generate...
Well, yeah, I mean...
A gazillion dollars, okay? I mean, it doesn't matter how much
what they're
you
doing
generate,
is taking,
how much you keep.
Yeah, they're keeping the tax rate the same. If you make up to $250,000, then above that, they're adding, like, I think, additional 9% or some crazy number to tax every dollar above $250,000 small businesses make, which is a huge tax increase. And we went through the numbers a couple weeks ago, last week maybe, where, you know, so you're making $500,000 a year, half that's taxed at, you know, 30%, the other half is taxed at 39%, and the amount that equals, how much more taxes a year that equals for an average small business.
Well, okay, let me consider this, okay. Investors right now are scared, even more so than they were in late 2008. And don't forget where we were in 2008 in the fall and early winter. The market was down. It was down, in fact, close to 50% from its late 2007 highs. Okay, that the housing market was basically crushed. Joe, you and I felt that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Bear Stearns, Merrill Lynch, Lehman Brothers, and AIG had all gone out of business in one way or another, right, at that time. And then the officials from the Fed and the U.S. Treasury were running around like chickens with their heads cut off, bailing out the losers in the financial industry. And to most people that were watching this, they were incredulous. I mean, it was incredulous to most people. Now, for a lot of investors today, it feels like the end of the world again, okay, and that gives investors who remember, who can remember, just one important idea about the market, a tremendous advantage. The media has whipped investors into a frenzy over this fiscal cliff. Now, think about this. This is an idea that I'm throwing out here. What we know, it's a fiscal cliff. It's basically shorthand for the government, the spending cuts, tax increases, and a reduction to the U.S. federal budget deficit, that unless this Congress right now does something to stop it, will automatically go into effect at the end of the year. So that's what, when people say fiscal cliff, when somebody says fiscal cliff, what are they talking about? Well, it's kind of a term that means that these spending cuts, and tax increases, and a reduction to the U.S. federal budget deficit, which sounds good, by the way, will go into effect at the end of the year unless Congress steps in and does something to stop it. Now, there's a lot of fear out there. The media is playing this up quite a bit,
mm-hmm.
Okay? But I got to say, in a way, it's a smoke screen. What would you think? You think it's a smoke screen?
Well, it is a smoke screen in a sense because the way I've heard it being described before is like rearranging chairs on the Titanic as it's sinking. What are they doing here? They are not addressing the root problem. They are not addressing, just to give you an example here, they talk about this tax, and they said in, where was it here? The original tax in 1969, they collected just $122 million, but that's about $700 million in today's money. You know, that, and they talk in this article, it doesn't show for inflation. The real problem is having a private banking cartel that is against the interests of the United States having control of our money. Not only that, is their track record of devaluing it over 98% over the last 99 years. So,
right.
I mean, what are you doing worrying about how to fix the debt? Wipe the debt out. Get rid of the Federal Reserve. Start taking the power to coin and print money back to Congress as to where it belongs.
Which is
we're paying interest to use our own money right now.
It's the yes. But you know, do you know that in Europe right now, folks, in Europe right now, if let's say you have $10,000, I don't know, and you want to open up a savings account in Europe, yeah, you can do that. Go ahead. But you're going to be paying the banks. You think they're going to give you interest? No. You're going to be paying the banks for them to hold your money. It's absolutely insane. Look,
yeah.
This is what's coming to this country, and people aren't getting it. All right? The crony capitalism right now is overtaking us. And this fiscal cliff, while the debt and the currency devaluation is, in fact, a definite problem, the fiscal cliff itself is kind of a big smoke and mirrors, smokescreen magic act that, believe me, things will, they're going to ink deals, okay? There's a reason we see Bonnier, you know, and Obama golfing together.
Yeah, Mitt Romney visiting the White House today.
Well, that's customary, by the way, that they do that.
And it's crazy, and they go after what they call entitlement programs, programs that people paid into their whole lives. I've seen a couple incidents on YouTube where mainstream reporting is blaming baby boomers, saying, you know, we're going to have to really raise the retirement age and cut Medicare and cut Social Security because it's unsustainable. Well, that's about the only thing that people paid into their whole lives. They could have kept that money, but the federal government takes it out of their check. But that's their fault now? It's just completely backwards. Don't worry about the trillions of dollars that go missing from the Pentagon under the night. Don't worry about the $43 trillion lawsuit or the secret $16 trillion loans given out by the Federal Reserve when the TARP bailout was happening. Don't worry about that. We're going to come after what you paid into, your pensions, your benefits, your entitlements, and they are yours.
Uh-huh.
They're not the government's.
Well, you know, but there are a lot of people playing fast and loose with the truth out there that really, I believe this. And it's not a Republican versus Democrat thing. It's not a conservative or progressive thing. Well, yeah, I would say it's more that than a Republican versus Democrat. It's a banker scam. I mean, we are being raped and pillaged by the international bankers, by the banking cartel. That's what we have to worry about. The entire system is set up, is being rigged. It has been rigged for us to fail. They are owning us. The international banks own us.
Mm-hmm. And now they are the Federal Reserve, their last QE3 program, QE2 Infinity, printing out $80 billion a month and buying what? Mortgage-backed securities with it. Your mortgage. Our mortgage, whoever has a mortgage,
right?
Kind of like they did with the student loans, and they're doing with the student loans, and now we're seeing that,
right?
Bubble about to burst.
And I have to tell you, it galls me, okay, to see people that paint themselves as conservatives. One in particular, you know, Bill Kristol out there, John Bonnier, okay. These people, they say, oh, we're, you know, they build themselves as conservatives.
Yeah.
yet they sign on to the international banking cartel that they, and anyone who dares talk about this
is
crazy. We're fringe.
Yeah. But no. They admit on their own mainstream networks that it is the international banking cabal.
Right.
That they are enslaving you.
Yeah. So I mean, we cannot fall for this insanity. And I mean, Glenn Beck has done some interesting and good things, but I think he's not gone far enough in investigating things.
That's one of the major problems I have with him is his willingness to go so far on all these issues, but certain issues don't even ask because it's almost like a mainstream news organization at some point. He is getting better.
He's
a good.
He
wrote a book about Agenda 21, or has a book to tell about that.
That's
why
I thought it's Sam's Club.
But when you ignore other problems, 9/11, for example, other huge indicators and signs as to where this country's headed and why it's headed there, you can't do that. You can't put together a puzzle and leave the middle of the puzzle out. It just doesn't work that way.
Oh,
and
true.
It's on the basis of being afraid to be called fringe. But I think that it can't be that anymore because he's been battered to death with claims like that anymore. But
either
way, he's still doing a good job at getting the word out about certain things, but lacking in others.
Yeah, and believe me, I'm not going to bash, I'm not trying to bash, and it's not even close to bashing Glenn Beck, because there are plenty of others that have to be called out on the carpet.
No, we could be called out, I'm sure, for certain things we don't do right.
Well, of course, but what I'm reminded of is the phrase by Barack Obama, Van Jones, top down, bottom up. Okay, and at the very top, what did he mean by that? Well, certainly what I see taking place here is the top down is the international bankers. It goes back to the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Council on Foreign Relations.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, you've got this control of political parties by the CFR and by the Trilateral Commission, by the banking industry. Any trace of banking industry or banking people far enough, and you've got the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and so on. And all you have to do, seriously, folks, if you want to really gain an understanding, is look back at the financing of the Bolshevik Revolution, where, it was financed by both sides, or by all sides. The bankers financed the revolution on both sides. And that same thing happened in World War II. And look at the structure of the Federal Reserve. Look at the history of the Federal Reserve. Look at the history of the federal income tax. All of this. Look at, we need to understand. If we really want to understand why we've got problems today, we need to understand history. That's my mom used to tell me that, and I used to really like get tired of hearing her say that. But said, come on, okay, but I heard her words. I did not understand them, and I didn't listen to them. So I'll say that to you, to everyone. Look, you've got to learn, understand history. Yeah, that's all right. I just blew my eardrums right out.
I know it might not sound like real loud of a thing to the listeners, but when one of us taps the microphone, in our headphones, it's like somebody just punched you in the eardrum.
It's like firing a 38 next to your head.
We're going to go to phone calls, but first, you see this fast food workers call for higher wages, and Manhattan workers at McDonald's are calling for $15 an hour. They want to unionize. They're giving us $7.25 an hour. So many of my coworkers are living on food stamps. You can't live in this city with that kind of money. The workers who say they don't make enough to put food on their table for families would like an increase in their hourly pay to $15. Well, I'll tell you what, $7.25 an hour, you can't live in New York City. That's crazy. But
no, you cannot.
At the same time, demanding double your pay, that's, I don't know. I would start at a, I mean, well, as a worker, you do want to get the most money for.
But the real part of the story is not necessarily, you know, the demand for more money. The real part of the story is, in my view, Joe, is the fact that you're going to see this happen more and more, and this is going to be as planned by the Alinsky people in the Obama regime. This is going to start the social revolution in this country, the class revolution. You're seeing the opening salvos of the revolution we are talking about, the Civil War we're talking about. That's my belief. When you start seeing stories like this, it's not real. I mean, it's when you, and folks, when you read a newspaper story, generally speaking, the most important nugget is found in the closing, in the last paragraph, roughly, or closer to the end than the beginning. That's where you should look for the real nugget of the story. Once again, this is fomenting the social chaos, the social divisiveness. This is the creation of the social divide. This is top down, bottom up, and inside. In that middle there is the majority, the middle class, if you will. And coming down from the top are the elites. Coming up from the bottom are the people that have not. So the people on entitlements. And when I say that, let me be clear. I'm talking about the people that have not earned them, that do not deserve them, that haven't paid in, that are scamming the system.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what I mean by those people. And, socialism is a concept, by the way, that we're looking at. And it's a concept that conspirators exploit. But the very people that are involved in the conspiracy have no intention of dividing their own wealth. They want you to divide your wealth. Communism, by the way, is an international conspiratorial drive for power by men in high places willing to use any means to bring about their desired aim, which is global conquest. Socialism is what we're talking about when you hear stories like that. Communism is the end result of stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to tell you that. So, and we must, and by the way, the techniques of communism versus communism itself, they're very important. We must understand the conspiratorial nature of communism, or we're not going to understand communism at all. Conspirators have two things in common. Number one, they're accomplished liars, and number two, they're always far-seeing planners. They're very patient.
Yeah. Like I said, they have every plan. They have contingency plans upon contingency plans.
That's right. So this is what we're seeing develop, and I just hope everyone understands we are witnessing such a critical point in our history right now. What we're seeing develop is the Karl Marx view of communism. Think about the Communist Manifesto, the social dictatorship of the proletariat. Did I pronounce that right? I can never pronounce that word. It's the elimination of all rights to private property. It's the dissolution of the family unit, and it's the destruction of religion. These three things we're seeing. The story you read about the demand for doubling the pay, that's part, even though it's not delineated here in this socialist drive, it's part of the social chaos. That's yet another leg of this drive for a communist. And once we achieve this level of social chaos, it's going to usher in the socialism and the final end, or not communism is not the final end. Global conquest is the final end of communism. This is what this is why it's so important.
And you said that global conquest is that communism is a means to an end, just like
that's right.
Yeah.
And the end being the
total world domination,
one world government.
Did
right.
you see there was a International Space Station astronaut who gave some message, and it was made into a commercial where I saw it on YouTube, where they said, you know, we see a world with no borders from up here. It's one world. We need to come together and get rid of the borders. And it just reminded me when I saw it of the new world order.
Let's all join hands right now and sing Kumbaya.
I would, I mean, if it were that easy.
Yes, yes. But we can't because, you know, that's not recognizing the fact that we are, that there are evil people. Look, I understand the concept. And I agree with the fact that if everyone, you know, hit their knees tonight, repented and praised God, yeah, I see no problem in joining hands and doing that. But we don't have that. We've got this element of evil that's been, that exists in this country. And we cannot, and we should not, in my view, peaceably accept, tolerate, or even coexist with that evil. I can't see how we can possibly do that. And that might sound drastic, but it's this perversion that we're looking at. There's a perversion right now of everything good in this country and in this world. There's a deliberate perversion taking place, and yet no one is talking about it. Instead, they're talking about, Mitt Romney and Obama and, you know, the congressman here and senator there and, you know, and about this policy or that policy. No, people should be talking about the perversion. If they want to talk about politics, and talk about the perversion of the political spectrum. Talk about the believers of a constitutional republic. Talk about it in that fashion. You know, it's we need to understand right now that we are under attack. There are people out there who are intending to consolidate and control wealth, and I gotta tell you, man, by the way, socialism. A lot of people, Occupy Wall Street. You know, there are dunderheads out there who believe that it's a movement, and they're part of the movement of the downtrodden, the 1%. Look. Occupy Wall Street and socialism go hand in hand. It's not a movement of the downtrodden, but of the economic elite. The plan is to socialize the United States. And you know how they're doing it? We see it all the time. Obama, George Bush did it. Obama did it. I mean, all the presidents who have been members of the Council on Foreign Relations or have had cabinets, you know, of members filling their cabinets with CFR members, their plan is to socialize the United States, and their plan is to create this single branch of government holding the most reins or power. And when that happens, a dictatorship is absolutely inevitable. So there.
Let's throw the phone lines as we have some callers on hold. Area code 407, we're coming to you now. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Thank you so much for taking my phone call. I usually am not one to get out there and say anything because I'm a mother and I have children and I understand where you guys are coming from. But I feel that there's a point that I feel that's detrimental to me to say to everybody here. And I'm going to read this out of Matthew 24. Verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Okay? I believe that the Lord is speaking to us and explaining to us that this is all a diversion to occupy us, to make us so consumed with what's actually happening in our world, which we're all concerned about. And believe me, I am probably more concerned than both. Oh, thank you very much. Either way, I bless both of you. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be aggressive and forward, but I'm a mother. And if you want to end a war, I'll tell you how you end a war. You send a mother to the country that we're supposed to go to war to and let that mother talk to another mother and work it out. You don't need to send our boys there, okay? My son just got back from Afghanistan. I laid here for 6 months every night, crying my eyes out until God gave me peace. And he showed me he's in control. They're not in control. But he also told us, this is going to happen anyway. We can't control it. We have to do what he said next. For a nation shall rise up against nation, which that is civil war. People think that means world war. It doesn't. That means civil war. And then kingdom shall rise up against kingdom. That's war, country against country. And pestilence is everything. And these are the beginnings of the sorrows. So us as Christians, we need to be preparing for the beginnings of the sorrows, not worried about what's actually happening, because it's going to happen anyway. If it's written, it's going to happen. So what we need to worry about is the next line, the famines and the, okay, that's what we need to worry about. Our Christian people need to be worried about preparing ourselves to help the people for what the people that are not going to be prepared, the people that believe they're going to be raptured, the people that believe in the, I don't even know, these people believe in so many things, I can't keep track of what they believe in anymore. But we're not supposed to be worried. He gave us this peace in our body. Believe me, my husband was in the Gulf War, now my son went to Afghanistan, and I, if anybody needs to be completely out of their mind, it's me. And I've got grandchildren that got born when my son was gone, everything. I'm just saying, he told us that we're not supposed to be troubled about, it's going to happen anyway, in other words. What we need to be worried about is while we go through the tribulation, are prepared. And
okay.
That's what we need to worry about.
Okay, may I ask your first name?
Sorry, my name is Ann.
Ann? Okay. Yeah. And let me ask you a question. Now, I certainly agree with you on a couple of things, okay? But let me ask you a question. Do you feel there's a difference between advancing knowledge versus advancing fear?
Well, I think that with some people, with knowledge, they get fear. And these people thrive on the fear of people. Because people, when they get knowledge, they panic. I mean, when they wake up, they panic. They're like, oh, my God, I got to go do this, I got to do that, I got to do this, I got to do that. And what they don't realize is that God already put you where you need to be. And the guy in Staten Island, I hear him all the time, and I just cry. Because he has his sense of security, but then he has this fear. And they're feeding off his fear. They're not feeding off his sense of security. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
And
yes.
Security, I heard him today or yesterday say, oh, I'm willing to give up my life. Well, we all are. But do you understand if you say that over the internet, they're going to come bankrupt you. And not even end up in a mental institute, you know, because they can't do that legally. I know they can. But what I'm saying is we all have a sense of something's going on. And we're not comfortable with it, because why would we be? I mean, our world is changing, but you look at this. I was born in 1968, and since I've been born, we've always been at war. I've never known peace in my life, ever.
Right. Okay.
Okay, so how is it that we're all scared now that we're going to go to war? We've always been at war. It's just a different kind of war, but now it's spiritual, and that's why people are afraid. But if they just stopped and said, you know what, hold on. Lord said right here, see that you're not troubled, because he doesn't want you to be troubled, because he's telling you this is going to happen anyway.
Right.
But
he's telling you, and then
a few verses after that, to be ready for what's going to happen, because if you're not ready, then basically you're going to be starving to death, and you're going to be having to, what are you going to do? I fast every Saturday. I'm an intercessor, so I have to fast. I mean, I don't have to. I choose to. But I'm saying I do this because I know this is going to happen. So I guess you have to put your mind frame in, okay, you know, It reminds me of the movie Armageddon, where the guy said, just explain to me the worst case scenario and then I can deal with it. Don't lie to me, just tell me worst case scenario and I can deal with it. And I think that if people just got that in their head, this is the worst case scenario, and they're preparing for that, then this other stuff wouldn't trouble them so much. If that makes any sense, I don't know.
Well, yeah, but Anne, let me ask you a question, okay? You said a couple of things that are important, okay? If we tell you, for example, that things are going to happen, I mean, you talked about preparedness, okay? You need knowledge. You need to know. Do you not need to know what to prepare for to prepare?
Absolutely, but I can tell people what to prepare for. Get food and get water. Make sure you have firearms and do not let anybody take anything that you paid for, you worked for, that belongs to you, because it's not theirs anyway. God gave it to you. You earned it. You worked for it. You did what you had to do. You put your sweat and blood into it. Now they're trying to take it away from you. That is where you draw the line.
Okay, but now how would you apply this to us, our program, and what would you recommend?
I love your program. I think your program is amazing, but I think that a lot of people kind of take it really like this is the end of the world kind of scenario. Like then it's really not. It's the beginning of test of your faith, basically.
Yeah.
It's the beginning of, were you listening to what you were taught? I love the guy in Staten Island because he said, I was prepared because of what you taught them. He had water, he had food, he had electricity, he had everything everybody else didn't have.
Right.
But everybody else was sitting there. I saw these people digging in trash cans after a day or two to feed their kids. Are you kidding me, Lord Jesus? No way would I feed my grandkids out of a trash can anyway. But there's special things that people can do to be prepared. They can learn how to garden. I mean, I live in a condo in the middle of Orlando, okay? And I only have a 4-foot by 7-foot spot, and I probably have a bigger garden than most people. It is growing in my in my little area, because I put stuff taken down, I put stuff growing up, I did whatever, you know, I could possibly do in that little bitty space I have. You know, I make my neighbors aware. We have neighborhood meetings now. We have 400 units here, and there's probably only 8 of us that knows what's going on.
Well, God love you for doing that, and I mean, by your own admission, you're actually increasing your awareness, your knowledge, and you're actually preparing so that you don't have to fear. And that's where we want to, believe me, that's what we want to do, Anne.
And no matter what you have or don't have,
believe me, I understand what you guys are doing. I'm just saying, I see what happens.
And we're up against the top of the hour.
I saw some of your people. I can't get on your blog, but I saw people, be careful, tell who you're prepping. Well, this is what I say. The Lord Jesus said we're supposed to take care of and love our neighbors as we love one another. And what he showed me is in the Bible where it says people will sell their children and give their children up for anything. No. He showed me to prepare to take care of these children in the neighborhood, and that's what I'm prepared to do. I don't care about the adults. They're prepared. They have the right. I look at it like this. The adults have the right to choose if they wanted to go out and drink last night, or they wanted to spend their money on a new car, or this and that and the other, or they could have bought a bag of beans and some rice for their kids. So I am prepared to take care of their children because I will take their children, and they're not coming in my house. Believe me, they won't make it through my front door. And we have a community of 400 units, not 400 people, 400 units, and we have about 8 people prepared to take care of these children that are going to be left behind.
Wow. Okay, so I mean, look, you've given some very important information. We're going to address more of what you said on the other side of the break. God bless you, and thank you so much for that call. You gave us some very great information. Folks, you're listening to Hagman and Hagman Report. We're up against a high break, Ann. You're listening to Hagman and Hagman Report for this Thursday edition, the 28th of November, 2012. 29th, I'm sorry.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Survival of the fittest.
In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
If you're stumped, you don't know what kind of gift to give to a friend or a loved one, I'm telling you, you must go to 4physics.com. That's the numeral 4, PHYSICS.com. This is your one-stop shopping palace. That's the only way I can put it. I could spend easily an hour on this website. Innovative, fun, educational. There are games, books, weather instruments, unique time-telling devices, jewelry, optical devices, laboratory equipment. Let me give you an example. We all know we can tell time with a sundial. You've seen those advertised. Did you know that you could tell time by the stars? At 4physics.com, you can buy a horologium nocturnum. This was a navigational device used in the 15th century by navigators at night to tell time by the stars. It's beautifully crafted in the shape of a pendant made of bronze and pewter or gold and silver. Absolutely a stunning gift. I would be proud to give it to anyone. You must go to 4physics.com. Even if you're not stumped, that's 4physics. That's the numeral 4, PHYSICS.com. It's your one-stop shopping palace. Any problems that you have, I don't know what to get Grandpa, I don't know what to get my loved one, that's unique, you will find it at 4physics.com. Please take my word for it. Go to the website, but give yourself a lot of time because you're not going to want to leave 4physics.com.
You better wake up fast and listen to this, America. The Obama campaign has launched attack squads disguised as truth teams dedicated to intimidating and silencing all political dissent carried over the internet that criticizes the Marxist Obama. Truth Squad specifically focused on covering up Obama's endless trail of lies, corruption, and subversion, and using the Gestapo power of our own government to police and censor the internet and shut down websites that dare to carry the real truth about Obama's Marxist coup. Remember the names of these Gestapo-style agencies at work right there in your neighborhood: KeepingHisWord.com, KeepingGOPHonest.com, and AttackWatch.com. KGB, SS, and Gestapo-style police state gangster organizations at work to silence the important voices of patriot dissent, some of which have already been shut down by Obama's orders. Adolf Hitler would have been proud. We're the 21st century Tea Party Patriots.
Doug Hagman. One guy that doesn't need a bullhorn to get your attention.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our third and final hour on this Thursday, November 29th, 2012 edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report. First 2 hours have flown by. We've had some great calls and covered a lot of news. One thing I want to say here before we go back to the callers about Egypt. There is a crisis in Egypt and fears are looming about a second revolution. Faced with an unprecedented strike by the courts and a massive opposition of protesters, Egyptian Islamist president is not backing down in the shadow over decrees granting him near absolute powers.
We saw that coming.
Yeah.
And we talked
about it for, you know, since we've been on the air about the Arab Spring and what was being taken out, what was being replaced with. This is democracy. A pharaoh, a new pharaoh. This is democracy. The new democracy.
Yeah. And by the way, to the last caller, Ann, before the break, I apologize. What we're trying to do, folks, is because we are being broadcast on AM stations, certain AM stations, and as small as they are, as little as they may be, and as insignificant as that is, we do try to stick to a hard schedule of top-of-the-hour breaks to fit in with that simulcast. And so we didn't hang up on you, or certainly we meant no offense by that. I just want to say this though to Ann and to the listeners as well. You know, we recognize and we struggle with this every single day and with every broadcast. Certainly, we recognize the power of the scripture. We recognize the accuracy, for example, in Matthew and in the Gospels. And yes, these things shall come to pass. Now, we also recognize the difference between knowledge and fear. And we believe that having knowledge allays fear. Okay? Now, if it's used properly, knowledge will trump fear. For example, if you have an illness, and how many of us have done this? And I'm guilty of this too. You get a pain in your side or something, okay? And, you know, you get a couple of symptoms. So what do? If you're like the normal, like me, you go on the internet and you type in the symptoms. And trust me, you don't want to do that, because what comes out are like, oh my gosh, I've got the black Malaysian plague. Okay. I mean, you know, when in fact you've got a stomachache or, you know, whatever it might be. See, here's the thing. We understand that we are not to spread fear, but to provide knowledge in order to make sure that you don't fall victim to fear. Because there are a lot of fear mongers out there. Holy cow. I've listened to a couple of shows. You know, the
mainstream media are one of the biggest promoters of fear mongering.
Yeah, but they do it.
In a manipulative way. It
right.
Doesn't seem as bad, but it is. I mean,
but you know. So look, what we're trying to do is not cater to the fear. And there's a difference between knowledge, providing information, and ranting. All right, I'm guilty. Boy, am I guilty of rants. Holy cow, am I guilty of it? But it does no one any good. It really doesn't. I mean, you don't tune in to listen to us rant. We do it occasionally, and sometimes it helps us. It's rather cathartic, but that's not the point. So here's the point that I'm trying to make. We're trying to tell you, for example, with as much accuracy as possible, if you are, compared to Hurricane Sandy, here's a hurricane coming. Where's it going to make land?
But before that, before you even get into the Hurricane Sandy,
okay.
I mean, we tried and we have laid a foundation of what the show is about.
Right.
It's about salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's
not Jamie Foxx's Christ, Obama, but the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
How we should live by his law, what is written in the Bible. And that alone should cover
the
spiritual part, but we do have to get into that a lot because it is important. It is the foundation of our show.
But yeah,
there are people that are coming every day, new listeners.
That's true. And I'm getting emails from listeners, people that said, we just found you. Got one here from California, Santa Monica. Thank you very much for your email, by the way, Chad in Santa Monica. But saying just found you. So, yeah, for people like Chad in Santa Monica, look, what we're trying to do is give you the forecast so you can prepare. And that's all we're trying to do. And if you're not in the path of, let's say, the hurricane or the tornado or whatever is coming, fine, that's great. Or if you are in the path, you can choose to either get out or fortify your location. That's all we're trying to do. And it's and Ann is right. You know, things are going to happen. There are things that we cannot change, that we must go through. And frankly, we're going to be better for it and blessed on the other side. If we survive, which I believe that most will, you know, survive, we're going to be blessed and stronger for it. But to not warn you would be much like a weather forecaster knowing a hurricane's barreling down on you and saying nothing, talking about sports or something, you know, totally irrelevant. So I just want to make that clarification for new listeners. And certainly we don't want to cater to the fear or spread fear. And that's why we don't say, look, you know, I just won't even go on that. I'll just stop it right there. But you guys know what I'm talking about. So, and I know what Ann was saying too, and I take what Ann said with 100% agreement and humility as well. So,
because it is all about the spiritual.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
All right, we're going to go back to the phone lines here. Area code 703. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hello, yeah. Am I on?
That's you.
Oh,
you're
okay.
Up.
Yeah, I called in, I guess, a couple of days ago, and you said I should, you know, give a call back, and we were talking about the mark of the beast, and I think it kind of ties in pretty well to even what the woman just talked about, you know, and what you guys are talking about when you're mentioning Obama, but in particular the whole nature of the beast. And you know, when you accept the mark of the beast, what you're doing is devouring the body of God, which is among the people. You know, you're actually, you know, putting a mark of debt on children. You're that they can't ever overcome. You know, and so, you know, I'm thinking about this debt ceiling and Benghazi and all this other stuff. But one of the points when we were talking the other time I called in was the symbolism, and when they raised the debt ceiling. Last time they did it, the vote was held up due to an abortion issue, which I think is quite telling, because they're basically aborting. You know, you're agreeing with what they've sealed in the market, and the president was inside of the White House, and he began his little zero hour at zero interest speech, referring to the fact that over his shoulder, through the White House window, is the Washington Monument that was open for business as a result of what they have sealed. this Washington Monument, you know, he was talking about how it represents a country like the United States that has pretty much has all of the people of the world in it, and you know, that's the new world order nature of the beast, and that gets lost on people. They'll see a speech like that, they'll have a Federal Reserve debt note in their hand, which is not apportioned to their labor, and you know, they don't really understand that, hey, you might be able to store up food and whatnot, but how did you do that? Did you do it with that Federal Reserve debt note that's putting a mark upon, you know, these kids that you're going to protect, right?
I'm not sure I get it, but go on.
Well, the whole deal is what your other host was saying. It's a spiritual reality. Physically, you can... can try and prepare all you want, but you can't buy, sell, or trade without this, you know, mark of contempt reality that we're dealing with. And it's a global borderless one. And it's, if you look around, it's timed with the prophetic fulfillment of Israel and Jerusalem being restored to Israel. And we just had a vote in the UN about that region, and the, which is now, you know, starting to, you know, fall apart at the same time we're having these kind of storms, these earthquakes. As a matter of fact, an earthquake shut down the Washington Monument, that little 666 symbol, after the speech that he gave when he raised the debt ceiling, right? So people, the whole deal is the image of Christ against the image of the beast. And you just got to appreciate what you're looking at through that, through those eyes. You got to look at Jesus, and you got to look at somebody saying, hey, I've changed. I'm thinking that the image of the bride of Christ is, well, changed. It's not a man and a woman. It's not God and his children, you know. It's my claim of dominion, which is the same thing that Lucifer is declaring on this earth, and declaring it through the offer of temptation, which unsealed the hosts that his spirit of contempt will enter into.
I'll tell you what, I think you're going to have, I'm not sure I followed you. I mean, I know in general where you're headed, but okay, for example, let's say I've got, right now, let's say I've got a pantry full of food, water, and preparations I bought with my Federal Reserve note. Are you saying that that's a bad thing?
I'm saying that no one can buy, sell, or trade legally in this reality. Now, if you're sealed in agreement with our Father in Christ, then, you know, you've got that going for you. But the fact is, the Federal Reserve debt note and the whole system right now is a devouring beast. It's not a portion to your labor, and every time you show up for work, all it's doing is sustaining an expanding contraction of the mouth of the beast. You're in a black hole. Okay, the derivative market. I mean, the whole thing, the whole picture, is not sustaining. And so to show up and think that you're going to work and try to escape a principle that requires you to agree with it by, you know, your having this whole unapportioned, ability of a government or anyone else for that matter, through communism, whatever, socialism, doesn't matter. It's you have the mark of the beast now. Just get over it.
I don't have the mark of the beast.
I agree that what you're saying.
You can't buy
that,
or trade without the mark of the beast. Get over that. The only way to get over that is to accept our Father in Christ. That's it.
Well, no, I agree with your thought process there, but I'll agree to the point that this is the final run up to the actual mark of the beast. But I truly believe, from reading all the times I've read scripture, the mark of the beast is going to be something overt. We're going to know. The people in Christ are going to know and have the choice.
Listen, it doesn't get any more overt than a 666 obelisk and a pyramid on the dollar bill.
You don't have to use the dollar. I mean, people can set up a system of trades. They don't even have to make money if they're self-sustainable. So it's not all-encompassing. It's not taking the rich and the poor and putting them under the same system, because that's not how it is right now.
But we're trying to understand what you're saying.
Through a universal ID, which they've already issued through law, and through the UN, they're everything set up for it, and there's no way of working your way out of what's going on. And kind of like what the woman said, what's going to happen is going to happen. The only thing that you're going to be able to do is stand fast in agreement with mercy, the sustaining mercy of our Father in Christ. And you're going to have to, actually work that out in the midst of this tribulation that's upon this generation, which is the last generation. There isn't any doubt about that. And, as far as what this United States government represents and what the countries in the UN represent is defined in the Bible, that they're going to make a false peace agreement. And all these nations have consumed the wine of wrath in the cup of fornication, which is an image of the market that's borderless and which we have now, and it's complete utter contempt. You're not going to work your way out of it. Every day you show up for work keeps the beast alive.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question, sir. Do you work?
No.
Okay, do you use U.S. cash dollars or any type of fiat currency to buy anything, gas, food, anything like
that?
Oh,
yeah. You can't.
Okay, so
there's no only way to do it legally.
Okay, all right. So do you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Of course.
Okay, so so where do you stand?
I'm with Christ, and I stand in disagreement with the world, and I stand in disagreement with the United States government and what's going on in the UN right now.
You've taken the mark of the beast then.
Have you not then by default taken the mark of the beast?
I'm thinking that the scripture defines the truth. It's not a choice. And that you and I are dealing with the mark of the beast currently. And you need to realize that.
I mean, we're seeing that system.
The
actual mark.
It will trump any kind of, within, having to deal with this whole mark of the beast deal. You're sealed in Christ. You're able to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But if you're not standing in agreement with Christ, then you're in full agreement with not only selling and trading with this mark of the beast, but you agree with the image of it. And the image of it is death, right? It's not life. And that's the whole New World Order reality. You've got an image of what they're presenting in the mirror of what homosexuals. No, the image in the mirror is you and your mom. And your dad, right?
Okay,
two parents. And there's a black hole there that represents contempt for life, and you've aborted the image of mercy, the sustaining mercy of our Father in Christ.
Okay, but see, here's the deal, and I think Joe, and pardon me for interrupting, but here's the deal. I think that in order, and I think Scripture is pretty clear on this, the interpretation of Scripture, let me say this, by people we've talked to, you cannot accept the mark of the beast it's actually a physical mark of the beast that you must accept and renounce Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in order to buy, sell, and trade. So therefore, you cannot exist and buy, sell, and trade and be saved at the same time. In other words, you can't work both systems. I think that's kind of what I mean. But you're saying you can. The mark of the beast is upon us, but by being saved, you're actually working both systems. Is that what you're saying? I mean, or maybe I'm wrong.
How else in the scripture it says that everybody's, bond, rich and poor, it encompasses everybody.
There's no escaping the
global reality unless, of course, you die.
Or
you are risen in Christ.
That is the reality. You will have to die,
you will have to.
Well, yeah, and I think we're all on the same page. But I think that we're just off on both semantics and timing. I think. Are you saying the mark of the beast system?
Let's hope so. Let's hope that you're right.
I'm not sure what I'm right about. I'm not sure what your ultimate contention is. Are you saying that we're actually living in the period of the mark of the beast right now,
or it's upon us right now?
I would look at everything that's going on with the Middle East and everything that's going on with the market and say, yeah, the time of sealing is at hand.
At hand. I think that's a key. See, I think we're in the season. I do, but I don't believe that we've been given that ultimatum yet. I don't believe that we've been given the ultimatum.
No.
Hey, you either take this or you die.
We have the technical numbers for it. We have the numbers of the beast. You can reckon the number of the beast currently. There's that. If you can't, then you might have an issue. But that's the whole part of looking at Christ compared to, say, somebody's savior like an Obama that is called, like you said, the
yeah,
Jamie
Foxx
guy. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous, of course. And but people, the Masonic deal is, hey, they have the apotheosis of George Washington inside the Capitol building. And so then they have his image on the dollar bill. So what they're saying to you is man as a god, and then up on, when they in that painting underneath inside the Capitol Dome, he's there with the gods, right? And these aren't Christian angels here. Okay, so
yeah.
What they're saying is I am dead man, I am a fallen, and I'm with those fallen gods, and you are buying and selling and trading with my image, that image, on the dollar bill. Next to the words, in God we trust. Now you know who that God is. And you know the number of that beast, and it's 666, because the President of the United States pointed it out to you when it was through the White House window over his shoulder, the same symbol that was shut down by an act of God after they raised the debt ceiling at zero interest at 0 hours, at 100% debt to GDP.
Oh, okay. Now I see.
I appreciate
you that in there. Okay, yeah.
We appreciate your call and some interesting points.
Interesting.
Well,
take some other call.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm thankful to be able to speak.
Well, we're thankful that you did, and we appreciate the knowledge that you've imparted. It's something that we're going to have to think and talk more about, but we've got to move on. God bless you, my friend.
Yeah.
Interesting, Joe. It's interesting.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to that again because I'm trying
sure.
to understand exactly.
Yeah.
I think it wasn't it's a miscommunication,
not a disagreement.
Right.
I don't think there's much to disagree about.
He's just coming from a completely different perspective and trying to nail down what that perspective is.
And that's okay because all perspectives are welcome, except the wrong ones. And we'll decide that.
Well, let's see who this is on the other line of this one. Area code 407, you're up next. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi, Doug and Joe. This is Ann calling back. I just had to call back because I heard what this gentleman just said. And I have to reiterate because I did not mean to insinuate. I don't even know where he came up as money being the mark of the beast. because it says in the Bible that money is the root to all evil. It does not say that money is the mark of the beast.
It doesn't say that.
Okay, we have to have money to produce on a daily, daily method to survive.
And listen. The love of money is the root of all evil.
You're making me get my Bible out, and I'm bringing you back right now.
Sorry, Ann.
I'm kind of shocked that he actually believes that that's the mark of the beast. What I do know is that in the Obamacare bill, that as of March 2013, that the RFID chip is mandatory. So I believe that the RFID chip, once it enters into your body, it changes your thought process, and that's why we see on the news all the time these people doing insane things and saying God told them to do it. Those are I believe that has something to do with the mark of the beast, but it has nothing to do with the money. Money is the root to all evil, not to the mark of the beast. I just want to clarify that I did not try to insinuate that at all. I hope you understand that, but I do know I'm in the medical field, and I do know that I was in the medical field and the healthcare field for 17 years. I'm making everybody take mandatory flu shots. I left the field because of things that they told me that had to do with mandatory, and I knew it was wrong, and I knew it was infecting my body, so I wouldn't do it. Because after you do that, they do control your thought process because your body is contaminated. And once your body is contaminated with these alien things that they're putting in it, your body can't process. You don't have a proper thought process, I guess I could say. You don't think like you used to. You don't, your thought process isn't the way it's supposed to be, so you probably are more subjective to believing that if you hear a voice from the psychotic medication they give you, that you're thinking you're talking to God. And it's probably a demon or something, but this guy, I just don't know where that came from. But the mark of the beast is not money. Money is currency. It's the root to all evil. He says to separate yourself from the world.
The love
of money.
Repeat after me. The love of money is the root to
evil. Money, the love of money is the root to evil. So that's why they are taking they're taking our money away because they are evil, because that's what they thrive on. But we don't thrive on that. I could trade you tomatoes tomorrow, and you can give me a chicken, and then I can trade the chicken for whatever. That's the way it used to be. That's the way it's supposed to be, because everybody has their specialty. But we got acclimated to the way society, we were programmed to be like this. Some people were. Some of us didn't. But, most of us had to, because that's how you survive. But that is not the mark of the beast. Because you have a dollar in your pocket does not mean you took the mark of the beast. I do not want anybody to think that for 1 minute.
No.
That's insane to think that.
No.
That just doesn't mean logical.
Yes,
if that were true, then everybody since basically Caesar would have the mark of the beast. This is something that's implanted either in your body.
Decaf.
I'm sorry, I'm very passionate about this. I'm upset when people are misinformed, because then he's probably sitting there thinking that if he goes to work, he's going to go to hell.
Well,
I don't know what he thinks.
With this gentleman, he called in last week or before, and we were talking about the same thing then. This wasn't in response to your call or what you said earlier.
Didn't want to inform anybody what I was going to say. When I said my intentions were, is that Lord already told us these things are going to happen. So for us to not be in a desperate situation to where we feel like we have to go to a FEMA shelter or to the government for help because we can't provide for our own family and our own children, that we do feel like we're going to have to take the mark of the beast because we cannot self-sacrifice and just die of starvation.
Right.
Does that make more sense?
No, it makes perfect sense. It does.
Okay, I was trying to imply is that we need to be prepared because all this stuff's going to happen anyway. So if you put that on the back burner, and then you look at the front burner, what's on there, and if you don't have anything there to burn, any food to cook,
then that's what you need to be worried about. And if you don't have any food for your family and your children, then you're going to be vulnerable to put yourself in that situation where you do go to the government or you go to a FEMA camp or you go to one of these places and you have to take that in order to eat or feed your children. And
right. So
the Lord's telling us all this stuff's going to happen anyway. It's already written, so it's not going to happen. But what we need to do is prepare ourselves for what is going to happen, and that's the tribulation. And we, as long as we're prepared for that, then we will make it through. And the money is not the mark of the beast. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call back and take up any other caller's time, but I thought I needed to clarify that because I did not want to misrepresent what I was trying to imply. You know.
Well, back to the clarification, and we're going to move on. God bless you. You have a good night.
All right. Well,
thanks
for
calling.
All right. And folks, yeah, now let's use the remaining.
We have one more call.
Okay. All right.
Put on hold. Area code 503. You're live on the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello. Am I on? Hey.
You're on.
I have only been listening for the last maybe an hour, but I was listening last night, and you were talking about Hillary.
Yes.
And I remember years ago reading a book called Hillary's Hellcats or Hillary and Her Hellcats, something like that. And I don't know who it was by. But I remember reading in that how she, when, you know, the president was elected, she, in her office, she had a giant witch's hat on her wall. And whoever the author was, he was talking about her being a lesbian and, you know, that type of thing. So... I hadn't thought of that book for a long time, but when you were talking about it last night, I remembered it.
Okay.
And anyway, it was interesting. I can't remember a lot about it.
We've heard references to Hillary being, in fact, I've spoken to members of the government when Bill was governor of Arkansas. The security detail, I've heard some accounts of Hillary's dalliances on the other side, okay, or on the same side. You get my drift. So
yeah.
We understand that. But what I was going for with respect to Hillary was the portrayal of a demonic presence sending messages through her physical appearance by sending demonic messages, satanic messages, if you will, by her appearance. By what she was wearing, by her clothes, by her physical appearance. That's what I was kind of getting at. And a lot of people hit it right on the head. I want to thank you for sending in this information because I do believe, you know what, I believe this, that there is this unspoken language out there that is actually speaking, that people are involved in, that the signals are being sent. This is what I believe, and call me nuts, but I believe that.
No. I believe it too. I took notice of late, the last maybe a month, when I saw her on TV, of how different she looked. And, you know, of course I noted that she was heavier and that she had grown her hair out as a hairstylist. That's what I would look at. But she, you know, I looked at her hair, and she would wear it all pulled back, like straight back and real, you know, rough looking. But, I mean, real smooth and... But it looked bad. But she, I really couldn't put my finger on it, but she looked, it, something was different, but I didn't think of anything about it except, you know, that she had put on weight and that she had grown her hair out and she looked really, horrible, I thought. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, no, and yeah, I don't take that as an insult, but just as an observation. But this is important, and I think it's important and relevant to what's going on today, because I think part of the practical agenda that's taking place today involves a spiritual, a bad spiritual realm that people are dealing in, and people might take issue with that, but I think that's out there.
No,
so,
I agree.
The occult's active. So,
Yeah.
So thank you for that assessment.
Yes. Okay, and I'll get off the line so somebody else can have it. Thank you.
All right, God bless you. You have a good night.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah. Okay. Folks, I'll tell you what. In the waning minutes of the program, Joe, in the waning minutes of the program, look, we're facing this really a smoke and mirrors campaign. To sum everything up, the smoke and mirrors campaign with respect to the fiscal cliff, which is kind of it's an issue, but it's not really the issue.
To an extent, it's a smoke and mirrors campaign, but there are real issues behind that fiscal cliff that none of them can be fixed by any of the proposals or what they're trying to do to fix it.
And it's the international banking cartel, which is the New World Order itself, the existence of which is really creating all of this.
The people who control countries, their laws.
Right. And as far as this country is concerned, it's a redistribution of wealth from the middle class, from the downtrodden to the elites, or from everyone to the people who control the money. That's the crux of what's going on now.
The synagogue of Satan, the money changers, as they're referred to in the Bible, is what we're seeing.
Right. And we also, we're also involved in the, heavily involved in the Syrian civil war uprising. And don't forget, the weapons are being shipped, some of the weapons that have been shipped up to Syria also have, in Turkey, have landed in Lebanon and Jordan. They're being used against Israel. Israel is involved in this as well as a victim. We are about to see when Syria breaks, when this goes hot, okay, in Russia and China, because of their involvement in Syria and Iran, you cannot separate the two. Syria is a firewall. Iran is a firewall. Both countries are firewalls. When those are breached, then the regional chaos will interrupt or will erupt, starting with Syria, then Iran. And Putin's often said, well, World War III is not going to start in Iran, but Syria. It might end in Iran, but it's going to start in Syria, and this is what we're seeing.
You know they cut the internet off in Syria today?
I did not know that.
Yeah, they cut the internet off for the whole of Syria.
Okay. Well, we have to watch this, folks, because the next step, you're going to have we already have Russian missiles. That's 400 missiles in Syria, okay, to protect their airspace, Assad, his airspace. It's not going to take much for things to really heat up over there, a down plane, whatever. But here's how it's going to affect us. This is one part of a multi-pronged threat that we're facing in this perfect storm, the Middle Eastern war looming. We also have the economic, the devaluation of the dollar. They're tied together because, as I mentioned continually on programs, watch the threat to the flow of oil. Once that is threatened, And this will be an orchestrated attack against our dollar. This is how it's going to play out, or one of the ways it could play out. They don't have look. There's numerous plans on the shelf that they've got. Okay, they can pull one out. One of the most likely would appear that an orchestrated attack on the United States dollar, by virtue of disruption of the free flow of oil from the Middle East. When that happens, we only have really a short period of time, days, maybe weeks, before things crumble. All right. Now, with respect to the domestic threats here, you've got the increase in FEMA and the federal troops, and you've got the tightening of the noose over the people leaking information. The White House does not want any information to get out. Folks, you got to understand how serious this is. These people are extremely serious. Do not underestimate them. We face threats in the United States from weapons, from the weapons that have been are being shipped out of Mexico into the United States from South America. The AQIM, it's a two-way street. They're funneling drugs from the tri-border area of South America, from the the Peru, Bolivia, that area.
And these people are the cartels that are killing politicians left and right in Mexico. Yesterday, there was a lady mayor, mother of two or three, saved her children while she was abducted and murdered by a drug cartel after they made two or three attempts on her life
But that's something that happens every day down there. And this is...
That's right. And it's coming... And look, it will come to this country in the form... Look, Israel and Americans are working together. We are killing scientists. Iranian scientists and Russian scientists are being killed in Iran. Once again, for better or worse, regardless of... It doesn't matter which side you fall on, whether you think it's a good idea, bad idea, understand that actions have consequences, okay? We saw this in October of 2011 when the Saudi ambassador in the United States, they marked him for assassination. How? Well, using Mexican drug cartels to assassinate him. But it was not going to be a clean assassination. They were going to take him out as well as other industries of or leaders of industry.
Yeah, I mean, look what's happened in Syria. There was one of the Assad helicopters was hit by a surface-to-air missile or a crazy weapon. And this is what they – I want to thank someone in the chat room for posting this article. Internet service went down Thursday across Syria, and international flights were canceled at the Damascus airport when a road near the facility was closed by heavy fighting in the country's civil war. Activists said Assad regime pulled the plug on the internet, perhaps in preparation for a major offensive. Cell phone service also went out in Damascus as parts of central Syria, and parts of central Syria, they said. And it says the government blamed rebel fighters for the outages. But there have been missiles, people in the government getting killed. I mean, these are not rebels. These are al-Qaeda forces that are taking over, backed by our government, taking over Syria. So we can't. I mean, anytime we see something coming out of Syria on any mainstream outlet or even our show, we can't take it. We have to look at it for ourselves and read between the lines and go back through our history and read how John McCain supports and went over there to support the Syrian rebels. What happened in Benghazi was directly related to Syria.
We just have to find better bad guys to support.
Yeah.
It's an insane policy.
Yeah.
And so, once again, Russia, Putin, when the wall fell, when the ruble went down, where was Putin? He was involved in the KGB. Okay, so now he's president of Russia. We know that he believes that revenge is the best dish best served cold. Well, obviously, he's going to take whatever opportunity there is to strike back at the United States. My question to the intelligence writer I was talking with was, well, wait a minute. You know, I've contended for a long time that Obama is a communist. Well, so is Putin. He's a communist as well. Shouldn't their agendas match in some way, shape, or form? To which his response was, look, you've got the Gambino family in New York and the Genovese family in New Orleans or whatever. I mean, you know, whatever it is. They all have, obviously, the same agenda, but there's infighting, too. There's fighting among the mobs. So you have to look at it that way. Certainly, there's a continuity of agenda among the larger organized crime families. However, they have their spats, too. So, yes, I mean, there are issues, overriding issues, but there are times when they go head-to-head. And... this is how things are playing out. But what we're seeing right now, the wars we are seeing being prepared, the chess pieces that are lining up, this is for all of the marbles. We are now seeing things lining up where this is for the end of days. I mean, this is, we are living in, of course, we don't know the hour. We don't know the day. We don't know the split. But we know the season, and this is the season. Okay, so that we have to be circumspect about that. We have to be aware of that. And I realize that people say, well, they've been talking about this for generations and generations. Well, there are differences with this generation. The knowledge, the travel, the speed of which both are multiplying. Israel in existence as a nation. And many, many, many other factors. Folks, you get the idea. I'm just trying to cram a whole bunch of information in here, you know. And one thing I want to warn everyone about, and please accept this as a warning, when you're seeing so much time, news time, media time, devoted to this fiscal cliff, look, we know that the economy is a problem. But is it the fiscal cliff? Watch the diversionary tactics of the media. If they're showing you and replaying and playing and replaying the same thing on every channel, you've got to know, or you've got to ask yourself, what aren't they showing you? Usually it's like a magician on stage. He is directing you or misdirecting you by the pretty girl, pretty assistant. Meanwhile, he does his magic. Everyone wants your eyes on the pretty assistant. In this case, the saturation news on the fiscal cliff. What's happening? What's that covering up? Well, that's covering up, as Joe mentioned. Look, things are happening in Syria. They're heating up. This cannot probably at this point cannot be walked back. This is what we're facing right now. Please understand that. Does that mean that everything's going to hit the fan and the world's going to end tomorrow? Of course not. No. But
we don't know.
Well, we don't know. I mean, I guess that was kind of stupid.
No, it's not really stupid for you to say, but we have to think in terms, because we don't know.
Yeah, we don't. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So, I mean, anything can happen. Anything is possible with the Lord. But the thing is, even though the world might not collapse tomorrow, like you said, I mean, things can happen in each one of our individual lives that is very unpleasant, or that could cause us to lose our life. We're not promised or guaranteed it tomorrow individually.
That's right. And watch, you know what, too, I want to just continue with this. We're seeing a mass exodus of people out of New York City into Utah, for example. Well, what's going on there? Okay, well, obviously they're making preparations for what's about to happen. They want to get out of the inner cities. There is a rush out of the inner cities by the elite, the people that know what's going on. This is what's taking place. We have to watch that. We have to watch, too, of any type of military movements within the United States. What are we seeing? Taking a look back, what are we seeing? What's going on here in the United States? Well, we do know that there are certain areas in the United States where military and police assets or federal police assets are being mobilized. We've talked about this before. What we're seeing is preparations being made for some sort of response to social or civil unrest. We've been saying this for a while. It's been happening for a while. Obviously, they're expecting something. That's been verified. All of these things are part of the things that we've got to watch. Folks, I invite you to send any emails to me and to Joe as well over things that you see taking place that are relevant and we need to really focus on, because we need to warn each other and keep everyone informed. And I think that we're at this point now, and Steve Quayle's site too on this Q Alerts. Look, he's got a lot of information there. Here's the significant thing, too, about the Palestinian statehood, Palestinians win statehood status at UN over U.S. objections. This is big news. And the UN General Assembly voted today to approve their request for to be upgraded to a non-member observer state.
Right.
Okay.
They got their foot in the door.
That's right. So what does this mean in the scheme of things? Well, what's the next step? Well, the next step is the recognition. This vote actually recognizes the state of Palestine, gives Palestine the right to join UN agencies. We already know the United Nations agencies are primarily Islamic and anti-Jewish. The stage is being set now for the ultimate battle in this case. So Syria is part of this, the ultimate, it's a staging ground, or it's the ground for the ultimate battle. And don't forget about the Bible passage about Damascus being turned into a ruinous heap.
Yeah.
Okay, we're facing that right now.
I was always wondering when that unfolded, if it would be in an instant or over time. And it still could come in an instant, but right now it looks like it's just being dismantled day by day.
Yes.
But, you know, we don't know. It could be dismantled altogether day by day and then just be completely crushed even after that. We don't know. But one thing we do know is what we're seeing in the Middle East. It's very unsettling. It does speak to Bible prophecy, especially when it comes to Israel and the nations gathering against her. And we know it's by design.
All right. I just got an email. I just want to reference this. I'm not going to give any names out here, but apparently the reference to the gentleman caller that we were talking to is somebody pretty well known, who is a great man of God, and who received he's a great man of God, according to this emailer. Thank you to the man who emailed me to let me know who this caller was. I want to thank you for that. We will, in fact, check on that. But supposedly the gentleman caller that called in is supposedly very well known and a great man of God.
Well, I'll have to listen again to get the audio.
Yeah.
And
But at any rate, folks, keep your eye not on what the magicians want you to watch.
Keep your eye on the Lord and your salvation.
Yes, and the first man behind the first, and then, of course, in the earthly realm, the man behind the curtain. Folks, thank you so much for listening. We've got a very structured program ready for you tomorrow. We don't have time to get into it tonight, but it's going to be very interesting. I want to invite everyone to tune in and listen to it tomorrow night as well. God bless you.
Have a good night, and we'll see you tomorrow. Take care, everyone.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo, and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.